about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Support for Pawnee Community Radio comes from the Wendell G. and Muriel Fathright Korbelman Foundation and Sweetums Cares, a nonprofit group that puts umbrella hats on homeless people when it rains.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
Are we ready for Psycho Mike's message from his mom?
Hi, hon. It's me. I heard you this morning. Made a mother very proud to hear you take a crack in the bushes. That's another story. Good show.
Other than that, good show.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
Love you. The f*** is wrong with you? I need you.
When you get up close, she's very homely.
You've got to lower your expectations.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Talk about being gay.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Okay, I wouldn't open with that.
Roll another one.
My crotch really, really loves it.
Just like the other one.
Unbelievable.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
No point in that. No point in that at all.
Roll. Roll another one.
You're my boy, Blue.
Just like the other one.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
This one seems to be about to end.
That's a genius idea.
I don't have.
And I don't drink or take drugs.
But don't bogart that joint.
I disagree with everything you said.
Just pass it around.
Dominion Pride, huh? Monday.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Oh, God, I'm bored already.
But just pass it on down.
And now.
Are you sexually attracted to young boys, to underage boys?
Am I sexually attracted to
yes.
underage boys? Sexually attracted? You know, I enjoy young people.
Our feature presentation.
I enjoy young people. That's all. That's all that's going on here.
Mister, it's a no, or there's a problem.
Right, exactly.
The minute you go, young people, do I enjoy them?
What do you
well,
mean, exactly? Define enjoy.
What do you mean by naked?
Physically enjoy? What are you talking about? Hey, party people, welcome into yet another Kevin and Bean show. Shockingly, the show is still on the air here for a 15th of June. How are you, Lisa?
I'm good, and they're fine. Thank you.
How are... Oh. what do you got going on this weekend? It's finally Friday.
I'm going to Palm Springs.
Really? Going to see the gays?
Yep, going to see the gays, taking Boner. He's got his little gay friend, Tito.
Boner has a gay dog friend named Tito?
Tito Puente, who is another chihuahua. It's
That's
quite
fantastic.
The time we have.
I guess I love that you're taking Boner to the gays. I love
yep.
that. No wonder they keep inviting you back.
They love Boner.
I think it's supposed to be 113 or something like that in Palm Springs this weekend. I mean, I think it's really heating up now.
Well, then I have packed well.
Yeah.
I've packed very little.
How about you, Muggs? What do you got going on?
I'm going to try not to get too drunk this weekend because there's a bunch of people coming over to my house. And yeah, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, you've mostly gained all that weight back that you lost for the bet, right?
Not all of it. Three days after the bet, the Monday I came back, Kevin and everybody weighed me in the office, and the 10 pounds was already back on,
right.
the water weight and all that stuff.
Right.
But
have you weighed since then?
Yes. I'm still okay. I'm
still what
okay.
does that mean?
I'm still, you know, I'm probably about 20 pounds under from where I started.
Okay.
Where you started.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
shocking.
Yeah. So, and, you know.
The way you've been eating, yeah.
The
yeah.
way I've been eating is I should be putting it all back on by now.
So
well,
you're,
give it time.
Yeah.
Your plan for the weekend is just to try not to get too drunk or too fat.
Basically. Exactly.
That's all you're doing.
Exactly.
All right, before we get started, Lisa, I'm going to give you your choice. I have two stories, both of which I like very much, and I can't decide, so I'll just let you pick whichever one you want, okay? We've got the man who called 911 because the deli didn't make the sandwich the way he wanted.
All right.
Or we've got the groom who was caught having sex with another woman at his own wedding reception.
I got to go with the groom, right?
It's your choice. I like them both. Whichever one you want.
I want the groom.
You
want
to go with the groom.
Yes,
okay,
I
look,
do.
It may be time. I know we did wedding disasters just this week on the Kevin and Bean Show with people calling in to tell all the horrible things that have happened at weddings. It may be time for us to do the quickest somebody cheated on you after you got married.
This would definitely take the cake, would it not?
I mean, you can't beat there. I guess you could beat it if somebody had sex with somebody else at the wedding and didn't even wait till the reception. I guess that would be the only way you could beat this. Otherwise, this has got to be the champion, right?
If you bang the officiant.
Yes, maybe so, or one of the bridesmaids.
Right.
Here's the story. It's no surprise that alcohol can lead people to make questionable decisions, but one Austrian groom really crossed the line when he was caught having sex with a waitress at his own wedding reception, according to the Austrian Times newspaper. It was only a few hours after the 27-year-old groom had tied the knot in Feldkirch, Austria, but apparently all that booze really clouded his judgment. The father of the bride caught his new son-in-law in the act, stopped the party, told all the guests to leave. The party was over. Party was off.
Yeah.
Go home. Although the bride now wants a divorce, what is she, uptight? The Austrian Times was reporting that she'll have to wait 6 months to split in accordance with Austrian law. Isn't that hilarious? She's got to wait for 6 months until she can get a divorce to this guy that she was only married to for like 3 hours.
Well, I guess you couldn't get an annulment here, right? I mean, they haven't sealed the deal.
Well, you know, that's a great, I mean,
he
I think
sealed
that would,
a deal.
I think that would, I mean, yeah, you're right. That's something that is available to us in the United States. I don't know if the laws are the same elsewhere. But, yeah, that is not the wedding night that she was planning. That's for sure. Imagine what it was like for her, wherever she ended up that night going, what happened?
I don't care how drunk you get. There's just no way that this guy's been the best guy in the world right up until that moment when he just got too drunk.
You know, that's an excellent point. That's a great point. In other words,
he's been doing waitresses all along.
But see, it was his wedding night. He just wanted to get in one last hurrah before, you know, he's, you know.
But don't you do that before the wedding? You do that before you show up on the day of your wedding.
Perhaps, you know,
Maybe he didn't have time.
Look at Muggs making excuses.
I know.
I think you're right, Lisa. I think no matter how much alcohol you give most people, they would still know, hey, I'm at a wedding.
Hey, I'm at my wedding.
My own, exactly, yeah.
So maybe not.
All right. Well, good time. So we'll keep that one in the file. I think I would like to do shortest amount of time you're together before you get cheated on, though,
yes,
because I think that would be very funny. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
DJ 90210 is in the house, baby.
Well, I'm not sure how much we need you today, DeJuan. We have a very, very busy show. Of course, it's Friday. That means Ralph's got the movie beat coming up today. I don't even know what the big films are. I haven't been paying attention.
I don't know what's out.
I guess we'll find out. Also, we got the manager of a place called Flight Club Los Angeles. Remember the conversation we were having yesterday about these people who buy sneakers, like the Kanye West sneakers that are out right now, and pay outrageous amounts of money for them? And we were wondering, what kind of investment is that? Like, can you really buy a pair of Kanye's sneakers and hang on to them for 10 years and make a profit on it? You know, if you're paying $5,000 for them now or something. We're going to talk to the man who knows. He runs Flight Club Los Angeles. He is a sneaker expert.
Excellent.
It's crazy how much some of these go for, too. Comedian actor Andy Samberg joins us on the program today, fresh off 7 years on Saturday Night Live. Now he's got a new movie out with Adam Sandler called That's My Boy. We'll talk to him. We've got Jay Mohr on the program today and Jim Jefferies, two of our favorite comedians, both in concert this weekend. Give you the details on that and talk to them. We're also going to have Ask a Stripper on today's Kevin and Bean.
Yes. Woo-hoo.
How about that?
Nice.
Yes. And this woman is first of all, she's a Texas stripper, so she's especially hot.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, she's got a little bit of notoriety with why she's available to us in studio for an interview today. I won't give too many details away except to say that Gloria Allred is representing her.
No kidding.
You know that somebody done her wrong, right?
Yeah.
So your chance to hear her story and ask a stripper. That's all coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and that's next right after this. Linkin Park on K-Rock, Ralph Garman on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, yeah. First look at the showbiz beat for a Friday.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on, dude?
Stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff?
Showbiz stuff.
What kind of showbiz
that's
stuff?
That's what we're going to find out.
Right, that's what we asked.
Congratulations to Boston Rob and his wife, Amber. You remember them from Survivor?
They're still together.
They are still, they are way together.
How about that?
They are one of the most solid relationships in reality television, that's for sure.
He's so we can
add, add Survivor to the list of shows that have produced more long-lasting couples than The Bachelor?
Yeah, absolutely. yeah, he's a dick, but his wife sure seems to love him. She just gave birth to their third daughter.
Really?
Yeah, Isabetta Rose. And she joins sisters Lucia and Karina. Jeez, these Italian kids from Boston, by any chance? Three girls under the same roof, plus Amber. That poor bastard. Well, he gets what he deserves. He's a dick, but now he's got four sets of estrogen to deal with, so good for him. This is an interesting poll. That's what she said. This Sunday, of course, is Father's Day. Harris Polling, which is a longtime famous polling company, asked people their favorite TV dads. What TV dad would you have most wanted as a father growing up, was the question that they asked.
Any surprises this year, or is it same old, same old?
Well, similar to past years, but earlier, further down in the list, number 15, for example, I think people misunderstood the question. Number 15 is Archie Bunker from All in the Family.
Oh, my God.
Hey, did you really want a racist bully as your father growing up, sir, answering that question? Dan Connor from Roseanne was 14th. Steve Douglas from My Three Sons was 13th. Peter Griffin was 12th. Again, Peter, love Peter. Makes me laugh a lot. Not sure if I would want him as a father.
No.
Especially if I was Meg in that family. Danny Tanner from Full House was 11th. Then the top 10, Ben Cartwright from Bonanza.
Ah, Ben.
Tim Taylor from Home Improvement, Tim Allen's character. Charles Ingalls from Little House on the Prairie. He was kind of the perfect dad, in my opinion, on TV. He always had the right thing to say. Half pint. Ozzie Nelson from The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. Mike Brady from The Brady Bunch was 6th. Then the top 5 is Andy Taylor from The Andy Griffith Show. Howard Cunningham from Happy Days. He was a good dad. I mean, I think I would have picked him. Jim Anderson from Father Knows Best. Ward Cleaver.
God, they're still going so far back.
Leave It to Beaver. Well, there was a time, Lisa, when the family sitcom was king, and the fathers on those sitcoms were almost infallible. So if you're looking for an idol, if you're looking for a perfect dad to be your dad growing up, you kind of have to reach back to the 60s and 50s.
That's when shows lied.
That's when they lied, and that's when fathers...
And we believe them.
The dynamic was father was the smart guy on the
father
show.
Knows best.
And then mom was kind of wacky and scatterbrained, and the kids were adorable. Now it's dad's an idiot, and mom knows everything and has to get dad out of trouble. That's the new dynamic. So,
but I'm going to say, though, it sounds like this list polled people over 60 is what it sounds like, because... Well, let me hear who number one is first.
Number one is Cliff Huxtable from The Cosby Show.
Yeah, that's no surprise. Yes. Where's Coach Eric Taylor, Mother Effer, by the way, while we're talking about great TV dads?
Now, this is Harris poll of TV shows that people watched, it says here.
Oh. How dare you?
So that's why people watched. Before I get to celebrity birthdays, I do want to give you a heads up. Tomorrow night at the John Lovitz Theater, I will be doing my Hollywood Babylon TV show, live show in front of a live audience. It's like it's just like this. It's just like the showbiz beat, only we do it in front of an audience and we talk filthy and I'm drunk. Sitting next to me will be my special guest star, David Koechner. You know him, of course, from Anchorman.
No!
Champ Kind, of course, from that. You know him from Thank You for Smoking, from Piranha 3DD. Very funny and talented movie star will be sitting next to me tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the Lovitz. You go to thelovitz.com for more details and for tickets. Today's celebrity birthday is Jim Belushi. He's 58 years old today. Actress Helen.
Oh, the good Belushi. I'm so glad he's still alive.
No, it's a John Belushi.
Oh, do I have him backwards? Sorry.
Helen Hunt, 49 years old today. Courtney Cox is 48 years old.
Belle?
She looks stupid good.
Yeah, she looks
good.
Yes,
give her a bell.
Crazy good.
I hate her.
Ice Cube is 43. Actress Leah Remini is 42.
Yep.
Neil Patrick Harris from the Tony Awards.
Definitely.
He was also Doogie Howser in How I Met Your Mother, 39 years old. Anna Torv. Anna Mother Effin Torv.
Yeah, that's a good deal right there.
From Fringe. Oh, I can't wait for the next season of Fringe. 34 years old today. And adult film star Mary Carey.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrates her 32nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Remix! Welcome to the Kevin DeBede Show here on a Friday. It is 6:23. Ralph, my advice to you is when you get on the mic, don't ever give it up. Don't give controls back to Beer Mug, okay?
Can you turn him on?
That was my fault, but the other thing was not my fault.
That was not his fault.
Ralph's mic was my fault.
I was here.
The other thing was not his fault.
Nice try, B.
Yeah.
What? What did I do?
Don't start throwing around blame.
Yeah, come on.
No, I'm just saying.
You know darn good and well that was not his fault.
I'm just saying I can't guarantee what will happen if Ralph finishes the movie beat. I don't know what our listeners will be forced to listen to. So just hang on to it as long as you can, Ralph. That's my point.
I'll do my best.
All right. It is Friday. Time for that thing that Ralph does. Here we go on K-Rock.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Three new movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. None of them are going to take the title away from Madagascar or from Pretentiousness. What's that? The
Prometheus?
Prometheus. Yeah, that's it. But it may be something you want to check out if you've seen everything else in the theaters. You may want to see a new movie, and that's what we're talking about right here. Starting with Your Sister's Sister, which is getting rave reviews. This is a small independent film starring Mark Duplass, who, by the way, also stars in Safety Not Guaranteed, which we loved here on the Kevin and Bean Show. This movie's getting even better reviews, if that's possible. Mark plays a seriously depressed slacker. His brother has passed away, and so his best friend, played by Emily Blunt, named Iris, sends him to her family's island getaway house to recuperate and spend some time with his thoughts. Now, here's the thing. His relationship with Emily Blunt's character, they're best friends, but there's sort of like an underlying possible romantic thing there that's never really been addressed. So he goes to stay at this cabin, and he ends up, when he gets there, surprised by the fact that her older half-sister, Hannah, played by Rosemary DeWitt, is already at the cabin, trying to get over a breakup she's had with her girlfriend. Well, tequila ensues, and the next thing you know, they're in bed together. And then Ira shows up. And so chaos ensues with this three-way love triangle in Your Sister's Sister. Here are some clips from the trailer.
Dad!
What are you doing here? What?
You beat my sister. I've been wanting you to meet
her. I did. We met last night.
I know. It's crazy. What are you doing here?
You don't think she lives in if you told her we had sex?
Why? Do you have a thing for my sister?
I do not have a thing for your sister.
Did you like Dad?
I don't know, he seems like a nice guy.
I did come in love with him.
You were right. It's better if she doesn't know.
I just feel like I should tell him.
I have to tell you something. I really think your face is going to annoy me right now.
My face always annoys you.
My face always annoys you. Great actor, Mark Duplass, and looks like a great film. You want to check it out. It's in limited release. You're going to have to look around a little bit to find it, but I think it's worthwhile. The Rock of Ages also opens this weekend. This is the movie version of the hit Broadway show that is based on the hair music of the 80s. So it's songs you know in a musical starring Tom Cruise as a outrageous rock star. I think sort of Axl Rose when I talk about Stacey Jacks. Malin Ackerman's also in the film. Russell Brand, Paul Giamatti, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Wow, great cast.
A small town girl living in a lonely world. Ends up in Hollywood, played by Juliana Hoff, and a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit, meet on the Sunset Strip while they're pursuing their Hollywood dreams. Here is a scene with Stacey Jacks, played by Tom Cruise, who's being interviewed about his peculiar ways.
You know, some people have said that you've become quite difficult to work with, that you're constantly late, you're reclusive, sometimes even nonsensical.
Well, I ask you this. Have these people even met themselves?
Well, I'm talking about your band.
Let me tell you something. I know me better than anyone because I live in here.
Here's the thing about Tom Cruise. When he tries to do a character, you sure go, wow, there's Tom Cruise doing a character.
But I will tell you, there was a quote I read from Alec Baldwin.
Oh, my goodness.
Who's in it and looks hilarious.
Yes.
Who said, I thought I knew a lot about acting, and then I watched Tom Cruise and I realized I don't.
Hmm.
And I thought
Alec Baldwin is very nice.
Well, but would he be that nice if he didn't really think that?
I don't know.
I think Tom Cruise is a great actor, but I do agree, Ralph, that there are some things that he is believable in, and others he looks like Tom Cruise trying to play a character. I agree with you.
I think Tom Cruise is a great movie star. I don't believe he's a great actor. I think Alec Baldwin acts circles around Tom Cruise in everything that
he does. But, I mean, Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible, you can't do any better than
no,
that.
No, great movie
he's
star.
He's great.
Great movie star, absolutely. Not a great actor. He cannot disappear into a character. He cannot become someone else. Which I think is the mark of a truly great actor.
And this is risky material also, yeah. By the way. This is one thing on the stage to go out and have a good time. It's another thing as a movie. It looks like this is a tough one to pull off.
And I don't want nothing but a good time.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Right, we'll just leave it at that.
And I think it gets better than this. But anyway, I don't know. It might be fun to check.
I don't know. It might be.
Looks like a tremendous cast, and they're probably having a blast doing it. And sometimes when a cast is having fun making a movie, that translates to the screen, and you have a good time as well. Plus, it's great music from the 80s. So you can check out Rock of Ages. Or you can go see That's My Boy.
There you go.
With Adam Sandler and Andy Samberg. They play father and son because their names both begin with A, and Sandler sounds like Samberg. Because they're both big comedy stars. Here's the thing. When he was in his teens, Adam Sandler's character Donnie, father to son, played by Andy Samberg, Todd, and then was raised him as a single parent until his 18th birthday. Now they don't see each other because of their relationship. And he's wacky. This Adam Sandler character is so wacky. He's crazy. He's mm-hmm. out there. He's sort of a drunk loser. And Andy Samberg sure is a buttoned-up sort of guy, and oh, I'll tell you, this was not a good father. This Andy, this Adam Sandler. And what he did was, amongst other things, he had his son get a big tattoo on his back in third grade. That's not appropriate, right? Are you with me, people? here's Adam Sandler and Andy Samberg dealing with that issue.
You wear a bathing suit in the shower? You know that's gonzo, right?
Are you serious? I can't even take my shirt off in front of other people because of you.
Well, because of me. What did I do this?
Oh, let me jog your memory.
The new kids on the block. Their heads are all warped now. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's because I got it when I was in third grade. My body grew.
Whoa, you got a bad tattoo. Their heads are wicked warped.
You suck.
Oh, that voice. What's
that
he doing
in a movie?
What's he do? Look, I like Andy Samberg a lot, and we'll have him on the show in about a half an hour, but what's he doing in this movie?
That is his hilarious Boston bad father character.
Okay.
That happens. That happens for 2 hours in a movie theater. You are subjected to that.
We mocked Jack and Jill. We couldn't have mocked it more. It made like $90 million.
Look,
I mean, there's an audience for Adam
this
Sandler.
This could make all the money in the world. But it would not change what we just heard. That's all I'm saying.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah. So those are your picks for the weekend. If I had to pick one,
yes,
I'd say go out of your way and try to find your sister's sister. It sounds like a wildly entertaining, independent film that is largely improvised. And I have nothing but respect for people who can make funny things come out of their mouths naturally.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
It's the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KRQ Frey Friday. As we mentioned, Andy Samberg in minutes here on the program. Also, two of our very favorite comedians, Jay Moore and Jim Jeffries, on the program today. And your chance to ask a stripper. That's how you want to get off into the weekend, right?
Yes.
It's all coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, listen to this breathless news coverage of a new sneaker being released this weekend.
Kanye West's Yeezy 2 shoes have been snapped up from store shelves moments after they were placed there. With an eBay pre-order commanding over 90,000 collectors and would-be sellers queued up in line for days for a chance of picking up the designer kicks for $245.
Okay, she's terrible.
Does she have a? I was wondering, does she have a speech impediment, or does she just not understand the material that she's reading? Because there's absolutely no inflection anywhere in that story that indicates she knows what she's saying.
She sounds like me trying to talk about the.
Yes, exactly.
Feel the ride.
But the point is, we've been talking about sneakers a couple times lately because it's just been crazy. I mean, she tried to tell us, I don't think you could figure it out, that this Kanye West Yeezy 2, the first pair, sold for $90,000 on eBay. And we're thinking, what the heck is, I mean, that can't even be an investment. There's no way to ever get that back. That's just somebody who wants to be able to say, hey, look at me, I got the first pair,
totally
right?
Totally right.
But you're going to see, last weekend when they went on sale, you saw all over the country, you saw people lined up outside, hundreds deep in some cases, to try to get these sneakers because they're limited edition. And I was wondering, we were talking about briefly yesterday, what's the future of buying a sneaker the weekend it goes on sale? How long do you have to hang on to it? And what can it possibly be worth down the road? And we wanted to get somebody on to talk about it. And we found the perfect guy. Bobby Araujo joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the manager of Flight Club, which is that fantastic sneaker store right on Fairfax Avenue in downtown L.A. Hey, Bobby. How are you, man?
Morning.
Thank you so much for joining us, particularly here in the middle of the goddamn night. These sneaker stories, especially when a celebrity gets involved, it's out of control. I mean, this has really become quite the status symbol for a lot of people, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, especially if you get them early, I mean, it's super high status.
And what's the deal? I mean, let's talk about, I mean, did you get some of these Yeezy 2 sneakers last weekend? Did you have some to sell?
No, actually, since we are a consignment store, we're the ones who actually sell them right before, or if not right after. We don't get them on the release date, so we don't have crazy lines or anything like that.
Oh, I see. Is that why I saw you on Auction Hunters last season, where you were going out and buying batches of other people's sneakers so that you could resell them?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, what do you know about these? I mean, what were they selling for new? A couple of $100, right?
The Yeezys, yeah, I think at the most it was like $300, because I think some stores did a markup on it.
Okay.
And, yeah, at the most they were like $300.
And how many of a shoe like that one, as an example, would they make? What's the first run of that?
That one is actually considered a quick strike. So there's roughly about maybe 2,000 or less.
Wow, okay. And that's in the whole world?
Well, actually, no, that's just for the U.S. And what happens is there was two colors. There was a gray one, which they call platinum, and then the black one.
Okay.
Which is solar red. And that one, the black one was released on the East Coast, and the white one was released on the West Coast.
And, of course, the sneakerheads, they got to have them both, right? They got to figure out a way to get one of each. Now, tell me, of the people who are going out to buy that shoe, is anyone buying it to wear it?
To be honest, not anymore.
So you put all that time and effort into designing a sneaker, and no human will ever put it on his foot and walk out the door with it.
It seems like if you had enough money, you would, right? Because that's really enough you.
Yeah, I mean, out of all these people, there's going to be at least a handful of people that are like hardcore Kanye fans and really want to wear it. But, I mean, to be honest, it just depends on where you're from. Because nowadays, almost everybody in L.A. is a reseller.
Yeah, right. You know? Gotcha. All right. So you pay $300 for it. You walk out the door. Then let's say you don't wear it. What do? You put it on a shelf somewhere, and you hang on to it for how long before you attempt to sell it? And what kind of possible profit can there be on that down the road?
Well, on that shoe right there, it's a different, like you say, you have to play the market. There's a strategy behind it. Either you can put it in now and try to sell it at the highest you can,
mm-hmm.
or you can wait a little bit longer down the line to see if it'll gain more value.
Uh-huh.
If not, you can sit on it for at least another year or so, and then bring it back out and sell it for the same price that it was when it first came out.
How much could it gain?
Yeah, what we were trying to figure out is if you buy this shoe and you wait 5 years, you pay $300 for it now, you wait 5 years or even 10 years, what's the most you're going to be able to get for it, like in all likelihood?
Well, you don't even have to wait that long. Kids paid, $300?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They put it in our store. Depending on the size, it ranges from, $2,500 to
$3,000. Already?
No way! Already?
Yeah.
So this is, I mean, there are people playing shoes like they were playing the stock market, though. Just getting in, buying it, quick sell, getting out.
Exactly. And our store motto is, buy low, sell it high.
That's unbelievable. Now, your specialty there at Flight Club, and this is the voice of Bobby Araujo. We're talking to him. He's the manager of Flight Club sneaker store in Los Angeles on Fairfax Avenue. You specialize in Nike, right? You sell a lot of those, right?
We do a lot of Nike and Jordan. And right now, Jordan is like super popular.
And Jordan, he came out with a new shoe earlier this year or sometime late last year, right? He came back into another one?
He came out with the Jordan 2012, but to be honest, that isn't really one of the top sellers. Basically, all his old stuff, which are the retros, are the ones that sell the most. And those are the ones that are more sought after, which is the older style.
And what's the top dollar people are paying for some of those 80s Jordan shoes?
Oh, like the ones that, like, some of the what we call OGs, which is original. It's like the OG Jordans usually go for about $500. And those are the ones that still say, like, Nike Air on the back. And,
right.
Those usually range about $500, depending on which shoe it is. Because we've got one, which is the Chicago Jordan 10. And we've got that in store for, I think, about $1,500. And that's the original one.
Unbelievable. In our remaining moments here, Bobby, again, we appreciate very much you getting up and coming on with us. What attracted you to, why are you a sneakerhead? What makes you in this line of work?
Well, I mean, I've been a fan of Jordan and shoes since, you know, I was in like elementary school when I got my first pair of Jordans. And at the time, I really couldn't, my parents couldn't afford to get shoes or couldn't afford to buy me shoes. So I got that one pair a year. Mm-hmm. And I fought and screamed just to try to get that one pair of Jordans. And I always kept them really nice because I wasn't sure when I was going to get another pair. So that's where it started. Like,
I gotcha.
Got that first pair, and I kept it nice and, you know, put it up and, you know, was hoping when I'd get another one. And over time, it just accumulated. So.
And now every day you go to work, you walk into a store, and you've got hundreds of brand new sneakers. It just must make you – it's like Christmas every day for you, isn't it, Bobby?
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Yeah,
fantastic. Unbelievable, the stuff that people are into and the money that some of these things are going for. Like, Kanye West doesn't need the money. I wonder what's the thrill for him, I wonder, is just that he considers himself a fashion designer, I guess, right? It's just part of his empire in his mind.
Yeah. Well, I don't know the full history or full story on this shoe, but I know the first shoe he did, I think part of it went to his organization. I think it was like after school music program.
Oh, right. Raising money for charity. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
Bobby,
I know the first one did. I'm not sure the second one did. So.
Great stuff, man. Appreciate it. Well, the second one's going to be to buy stuff for Kim Kardashian. He needs the money now.
Right.
She's an expensive lady. 503 North Fairfax Avenue in Los Angeles, Flight Club Los Angeles. Bobby, thanks for joining us, man. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
This summer, there's no better place for a party than on the water with Hornblower Cruises and Events. Hornblower is offering exciting packages and public brunch and dinner cruises all summer long. Visit hornblower.com for details. That's hornblower.com. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Do they have to pay extra to get Ralph to do sound effects on the commercials? I don't even
know.
I
know what you're talking about. That's what happens when you say Hornblower. You just hear that in the distance.
Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Andy Samberg joins us after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
Speaking of big-time movie stars, my buddy David Koechner. You know him as Champ Kind from Anchorman and soon to be seen in Anchorman 2. He's currently in Piranha 3DD. He's seen him in a ton of movies. Super funny guy. Hilarious actor and comedian. He is going to be my co-host this weekend for Hollywood Babylon at the John Lovitz Comedy Club up at Universal City. We'd love to have you come join us tomorrow night at 10 p.m. You can go to thelovitz.com or babylonralph.com for more details and for tickets. And congratulations again to the Los Angeles Kings. Of course, yesterday was the big celebration day, the big parade. And Fox Sports West was kind enough to cover it live for us, all the speeches that were given, and they quickly regretted that. Especially when Conn Smythe winner Jonathan Quick, the goalie for the Los Angeles Kings, got up in front of the microphone. He should be called Jonathan F. instead of Jonathan Quick. Because that's the word he likes to use the most. Here's what was broadcast over Fox Sports West yesterday.
How about this f***ing team right here? Look at this f***ing team right here. Look at this guy.
Yeah, hey, this is Patrick O'Neill out here on our set to our entire audience. Just want to apologize for the foul language. Now we go back to Jonathan Quick.
Fox Sports had to break in immediately, apologize. And then
F word, MF word, yeah, S word,
exactly.
G word, D yeah. word, GD word.
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny. How do you go back to him when you know that's when that's happening?
Right.
We're really
yeah.
sorry that he's dropping the F-bomb. Now back to the guy who's dropping all the F-bombs. Thank
Give
you
him so a live microphone on TV. You know, it was funny because Dustin Brown had an F-word in his post-game interview,
yeah,
too,
right
on
after the
NBC
game.
The other night. Yeah.
Adam Levine, if he didn't get the ladies before, he sure will now. He, of course, is the singer for Maroon 5. He is a judge on The Voice, and now he's just been cast as a lead in a new musical film called Can a Song Save Your Life? The film will be directed by John Carney. He's the guy who did Once.
which of course was a wildly successful movie and now is a Tony Award-winning Broadway musical. The movie will co-star Keira Knightley, Mark Ruffalo, and Haley Steinfeld.
Wow.
So it's a great cast, and he's the lead, so congratulations to that dude.
I guess Maroon 5 was already super popular, and he's had a lot of hot ladies anyway, but this voice has just put him over the top. I mean, he's just a huge sex symbol now for some reason.
He's a superstar.
I don't watch that show. Is he likable on the program?
Super
likable.
I don't watch the voice either, but every time I see him, he seems nice.
What he was like, but he seems very charming on the show, and
well, it's
totally
working.
Increased his popularity.
What would stars do if they were the president of the United States? Oh, that's a scary idea, isn't it?
Muck it up.
Yeah. Us Weekly magazine asked some celebrities that question, and here are two responses. I'll give you first Alec Baldwin, who some people speculate might get into politics anyway after he's done with show business, because he's very politically active. Here was his response. I'd give more tuition to people who want to go to college. Every dime that we invest in our young people and their future in science and technology and the arts is only going to come back and pay tremendous dividends to us. Alec Baldwin. Nice statement, right? Then they asked Kim Kardashian. I would make the Armenian genocide more recognized. Well, that would do a world of good for the United States. Thank you, President Kardashian. We appreciate that.
That's what America needs to get right back on top.
That's right.
Come on.
Glendale! And the Jersey Shore just isn't fun anymore. At least that's what cast and crew members are saying about the final season with this particular cast at the Jersey Shore house. MTV has slapped them with a bunch of new rules, according to In Touch magazine, that they're all balking at. But here's how things go down in the Jersey Shore house this summer. No cell phones, computers, books, magazines, or internet access is allowed.
Oh, they just want them to fight.
That's what it is. They're just putting them in a pressure cooker and just turning up the heat. All cast members and their belongings are subject to search coming in and out of the house.
Interesting.
No more than four visitors are permitted in the house at one time. The cast members may only leave the house if accompanied by a producer and a security guard. This isn't a shore house, this is a prison.
It does sound like that.
It sounds like a rehab.
I mean, if you take everything you mentioned away, I mean, all that's left to do really is drink, fight, and have sex.
Yes.
And
that's what they're hoping. Right?
Those are the big three on that show.
That's what they want.
You were excluded from the surf and turf night.
Come
on. Excluded from ravioli night. You excluded from chicken cutlet night.
I love chicken cutlet nights.
Nope, no more.
Come on. And Forbes magazine has released its list of the world's highest paid supermodels. Here is your list. Now, keep in mind, this does not include people like Heidi Klum or Tyra Banks who have gone on to become
businesses.
Sort of businesswomen and moguls and multimedia personalities. This is just the models.
Okay.
People who are working as a model. Okay.
Right. The primary income is modeling. Candace Swain Poole.
Oh, yeah. Whatever they're paying her, it's not enough.
She only made $3.1 million in the last 12 months. That's all she made. She's 10th on the list.
Wow.
Carolyn Murphy.
Yeah.
3.5. I think we can assume, Bean, that all of the girls on this list are bell-worthy.
I mean, should just I save my bell till the end?
I'm just saying, you might want to. I think we can assume all the girls should get a bell.
Now I know how I dislocated my shoulder. Because every time you do one of these supermodel lists, they get going on the bell.
Carolyn Murphy's $3.5 million richer this year. Laura Stone, 3.8.
I don't even know who she is.
I don't know, but she's hot. $3.8 million. Miranda Kerr, a measly $4 million she's made over the past 12 months. Alessandre Ambrosio, $6.6 million in 1 year. Dotson Kroos from the Netherlands, $6.9 million. Wow. Adriana Lima, over 1 year, earned $7.3 million. That's number four on the list.
Just for being hot.
Yes. Russian model Natalia Vodianova, $8.6 million.
Wow. Whoa, hot.
Kate Moss, $9.2 million.
Don't get it.
Still
$9.2 million for Kate Moss.
Don't understand that
with her honked up grill and her pie eyed face and her skinny boy body.
Yeah.
What?
Exactly. Well said. Ralph.
Thank you. Number one. Who do you think's number one on the list?
Oops.
Yes, Pac-Man. Pac-Man is number one on the list.
Sorry, that's what I wanted.
Kate Upton, but she's so new to all of this.
She did not rank in the top 10 this year, Lisa.
So this is someone who's been around
a
while,
this
right?
is an established supermodel, yeah. She gets the big
Cindy Crawford.
Cindy Crawford not on the list and wouldn't count because she's gone on to be a businesswoman.
Yeah. Who's a name that we're missing who's always
See,
modeling?
Mike would know. I don't really keep up with
You're not going to believe how much she made in a year, I'll tell you that much. You may, guess the name.
Claudia Schiffer?
No.
No.
Giselle Bundchen.
Oh, sure. There you go. Okay.
Giselle Bundchen.
All right.
Is the biggest money-making supermodel this year.
She making more than her husband?
I would have to say yeah.
Wow, really?
How much?
I'm guessing more, easily more than Tom Brady.
Wow.
Over the past 12 months, she has made. They want to take a guess before I know we're running late.
Well, wow. You built it up to be an awful lot of money.
It's an awful lot of money.
$15 million a
year. I was going to say 20.
I would say to both of you, why don't you double your ideas?
Oh, really?
$45 million
no,
is what she made.
No,
$45 no. million.
Wow.
$45
million.
$45 million. Today's celebrity birthday is Jim Belushi. He's 58. Helen Hunt turns 49. Courtney Cox is 48. Ice Cube, the mother effing cube, is 43. Leah Remini from King of Queens is 42. Neil Patrick Harris, NPH, is 39. Dryden Mitchell of Alien Ant Farm turns 36 years old. Anna Torv of Fringe
Anna
is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Friday morning on the world famous K-Rock. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. A couple of our favorite people on the program today. Funny man Jay Moore later this hour. Jim Jefferies joins us next hour. And in the 9 o'clock hour, your chance to ask a stripper. That's all coming up right now, though. It's Andy Samberg time.
Take a look inside. It's my... in a box.
We love that chronic. What goes up, Narnia?
Hey, dog, how's it going? I like your fur. That looks really great. Say hi to your mother for me, okay?
I'm buzzing dudes' mouths like Gush's motherfucker. Roll up on NBC, Inspector, and shout, Death Sucker!
What you want, Natalie?
To drink and fight!
What you need, Natalie?
To host for night!
You can take my word. I want to apologize. That's just absurd. Mainly your fault for the way that you dance. And now I'm in my pants.
Andy Samberg on big screens everywhere today in the film That's My Boy with his friend Adam Sandler joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Andy, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you? That was such a lovely intro.
Thank you. Our man Omar put that together for you. He's a big fan as well. Are you in New York City right now?
I'm in the Big Apple, as I call it. No one's ever called it that before but me.
Wow, that might catch on. That is merchandising possibilities. Did you go outside and watch Bieber today? Did you see any of that?
No, but you know I got a T-vote.
Yeah, I know you do. Well, Andy, I'm so happy that we have you on because we have a bunch of stuff we want to talk about. And let's start with, before we get to That's My Boy, let's start with, I've been reading your interviews. You knew it was time. 7 years, that's a good long run on Saturday Night Live. You're set up to go off and do a lot of other things. I don't blame you for leaving, but... Sure. Why was there no Andy Samberg goodbye besides the video that you guys put together? Why did you not get to dance off into the moonlight with John Hamm like Kristen Wiig did? It seemed like it was so anticlimactic to say goodbye to you after that long with really nothing on the show. What happened?
Well, I hadn't officially decided yet. You know, I talked to Lauren and told him I probably was going to, but you know, everyone at the show knew about Kristen, and that sketch got written for her, and it just seemed like a really fitting send off for her, and you know, I hadn't really made it that clean of a break yet. So for me, I built it into the digital short, which I thought was a lot more fitting for me. Anyhow, you know, she kind of
right.
owned the stage live when she was there, and I don't know. People have said that to me, but personally, it felt like everything was in its
right. You were fine with it. And how about Sudeikis? Has he decided yet? Because I don't think I've seen one way or another whether that's official or not.
Yeah, I don't think he knows yet.
He doesn't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Will SNL continue to do something like digital shorts, or do you take that with you and now they're not going to have that feature anymore?
I assume they will. I mean, there's always been short pre-tape things on the show ever since the first season with Jim Brooks, so I'm sure they'll do something. You know,
yeah. Well, you made it your own, though. I mean, you really up the ante on that with the kind of songs that you guys did and stuff like that. I mean, you're really, really going to be missed. Will you continue to try to do stuff in music too on your own, like on the internet or something?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm hoping we're going to make another Lonely Island record, and there will be videos for those songs, hopefully. And you know, who knows? They might even find their way back to SNL. It could be
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, I love in the press that you've been doing talking about That's My Boy opening up everywhere today in theaters with Andy Samberg on the Kevin and Bean. You're here. I love that you talk about how Adam Sandler was not only a hero of yours when you were super young, but that he kind of reached out to you when you came on the show and has kind of been your, if nothing else, your phone buddy even throughout the years that you were on the show. I mean, that's so cool to me on a show like SNL to think about the generations kind of staying in touch and all being part of one big family. I love the idea of that.
Yeah, same. I mean, obviously it meant the world to me. When I first got hired, he called me out of the blue just to say hi and welcome me, which, you know, growing up loving him, it meant everything to me. But I will say there's definitely a kindred spirit amongst everyone who's ever worked there, and no one more so than Sandler. I mean, he's so good about continuing to hire people that were in the cast and put them in his movies and being good to people that love good comedy.
It's kind of like you all, you know, were in Korea together, so you're the only ones who know what it was like to be in the trenches, right?
I have described it almost exactly that way, yeah.
And how different was it as a fan of his as a kid and then as an adult and going to see all of his movies when you're actually on the set in one of them? Did it seem kind of surreal to you?
It was completely surreal. But I will also say, like, it was surreal in the best possible way because this movie in particular, he's doing kind of like the old school crazy Sandler, which was my formative years when I first started watching him, like the old albums and the first few movies and stuff. So, like, not only did I get to do a movie with him, but I got to do, like, my favorite version of him kind of a movie with him where he was just making me laugh every day constantly.
Did you say in one interview that I read recently that you had the audio from Billy Madison on a headset and you would walk around listening to it?
That is correct. I had it on audio cassette. I listened to it in my Walkman.
That's hardcore, dude. I don't know that I've ever loved a movie enough to walk around listening to it in my Walkman.
I tell people that I am a comedy nerd, and they don't believe me, but maybe they'll believe now.
What's the set like on an Adam Sandler movie? Does he come in and everything is written out? You got to do it exactly that way, or is there a lot of goofing around in improv?
There's goofing. I mean, he likes to, you know, come in, run it through. We'll do some takes that are from the script, and then it's like, let's regroup, watch it back, and see if we can top some of the jokes and see if we make the scene funnier. And he's real open. You know, anyone can pitch a joke. And if it's good, you know, he'll give it a shot. His character, any other character in the scene, there's a lot of doing, you know, a series of alts. And then in the editing room, they have choices and sort of pick
right.
one they like better.
Right. When you first got the inkling that show business was for you, did you ever dream you'd grow up and be in a movie with Vanilla Ice?
I thought you were going somewhere else with that. Certainly not. Not when I bought Ice Ice Baby on Kasingle.
That's right.
But yeah, it was a dream. He's the nicest man, and he kills in the movie. It's actually really funny and surprising how much he gets laughs in the movie.
He said on, speaking of the Today Show, he was on with Kathy Lee and Hody yesterday. You can tell I watch a lot of TV, Andy.
Yeah.
And he said that That's My Boy is the funniest movie ever made. True or false?
I don't know about ever made, but I've been to some screenings, and I will say it plays real hot. I was very pleased when I saw it.
Adam Sandler, Leighton Meester, James Caan, Vanilla Ice, and our guest Andy Samberg. The film is called That's My Boy, opening up everywhere all weekend long. Andy, I'm so glad we got a chance to chat with you, man. Let's do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Same here. Thanks for letting me call in.
You bet. Bye-bye. World famous K-Rock, another day, another chance for you to score free tickets to the Vans Warped Tour. Also, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Fun, and so much more. Beer Mug, is it you again in the van today for Del Taco at noon to 2? Is that right?
Right in Harbor City off the 110 freeway in PCH today. Yeah, I'll be giving out tickets and free food.
Pretty good deal. Beer Mug will be there again. That's the Harbor City Del Taco at noon today. Everyone, pick up the K-Rock sticker at the Del Taco near you. Put it on the back of your car. Send in the back of the sticker, and you could win a 2012 Honda Civic Hybrid, 2012 Honda Motorcycle, plus tickets to the upcoming Honda Civic Tour with Linkin Park, that band right there, and Incubus. All your details at K-Rock.com. That is a great deal.
It is.
Not as great as this deal, though. There's a machine now, a vending machine, Lisa May, that makes pizza fresh right in front of you.
Really?
Well, yes.
We have to sit there and wait for like 25 minutes. That's how long it takes to make pizza.
Guess again. Listen to this instructional video on how this machine works.
Let's Pizza is the only machine in the world capable of making healthy and genuine pizzas using entirely fresh ingredients. Once you have chosen your desired pizza among the choice available, the pizza is kneaded, rolled out, topped, cooked and served, starting with the water and flour, in less than 3 minutes.
In less than 3 minutes, you get a fresh hot piece of pizza.
I can get my pizza in less than 3 minutes?
Yes.
Joe.
Let's Pizza is what it's called. It is a big hit in Europe. It has come to the United States. They've already got it in Atlanta. We're trying to figure out how we can get one in the K-Rock building. We wanted to find out more about this amazing concept. The Italian inventor of Let's Pizza, Claudio Torgel, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Claudio.
Hey, how you do? How's everybody doing in America? Hey, I love America.
Well, we're doing great, and we're so excited about Let's Pizza. We can barely stand it.
You're excited. I'm even more excited. Everybody, Let's Pizza.
How do you make a pizza fresh in front of my eyes in less than 3 minutes, Claudio?
I gotta tell you something. I'm very proud of a Let's Pizza. What happens is you put in your money, and then we mix the water and the flour, and we make it a dough.
Okay.
And then the dough drop it down into plate. We press it down into a pizza size. We put a tomato sauce. We put mozzarella. We put whatever kind of meat. What kind of meat you like, lady? Hey, lady, what kind of meat you like?
I like pepperoni.
Pepperoni. We got pepperoni. Let's pizza. And we put the pepperoni and we slide it in the oven, which is a very, very, very hot. And then it cooks it super quick. 3 minutes later, ba-boom, ba-boom, fa-ta-fa-zool, you got a pizza. Everybody, Let's Pizza.
Three minutes is crazy.
Apparently, it's an infrared oven. Is that right, Claudio? That's
right.
The secret?
It's infrared. It's not infra-blue.
It's not
infra-green. It's infrared.
And I think this country has a lot of problems, but we'd forget about most of them if we had access to fresh, hot pizza at any time around the clock.
Let's Pizza.
Let's Pizza, indeed. This technology that you've come up with for the pizza, is this something that you can use for other food, too?
Well, Let's Pizza is such a big success that I'm here in the lab working on many more vending machines over many more kinds of food for people. And I think everybody's going to be very happy with the new vending machine you're going to see soon. We're starting it in Jerusalem. It's for matzo balls.
Matzo balls in a vending machine.
Fresh matzo balls. It's called Eat My Balls.
I would change that name, but I think the product...
Hey, how you doing, Jewish guy? Eat My Balls.
Well, I'd be careful with that, but the product idea sounds like a good one.
You like a quiche? You like a little quiche?
Sure.
Oh,
sure.
Quiche in France is so popular. I make a vending machine for the French with a quiche, fresh quiche in it. Quiche my ass, French people.
Maybe someone else works on the names for your products, and you just stick to the inventing.
You like sushi? I love a sushi.
Sure.
I'm a bigger sushi fan. I'm going to make a vending machine for Japan, for I have a sushi. Fresh sushi. The fish are in there. They cut it up, and slice it, they roll it. Boom. 3 minutes later, you got fresh sushi.
Nice.
So, lady, you smell fishy.
Nope.
That
nope.
is a bad
lady,
name.
You smell fishy.
No, that's a terrible name. That could be misconstrued.
Want to hear about my vending machine for head cheese?
No. I do not. I do
my
not.
My vending machine for grape nuts.
Oh, well, you look at the time, Claudia. We got to go.
Nuts
okay. Thank you, sir. Funny man Jim Jeffries on the show later on today, and your chance to ask a stripper. Sarah Tressler is going to be joining us. She's one of those Houston strippers. Those are good ones, Lisa. Trust me.
Oh, okay. You would know.
Right now, though, how about Jay Moore?
Jay Moore.
Jay Moore. Funny man Jay Moore. What's up?
Dave, Jay dropped there, bud.
Oh, all of that.
Yeah. We had him on hold, and then we lost him. Jay Moore is going to be on stage tonight at the Sabin Theater in Beverly Hills. $25. You not only get to see Jay, that's what you'd pay to see Jay, but you also get to see Wendy Liebman, also Paul Reiser, Alonzo Bowden, who, of course, was the winner for Last Comic Standing. It's all a benefit. Tomorrow night, excuse me. I said tonight. It is tomorrow night. It is all a benefit for something called We Spark. It's a cancer support center. All right. Do we have Mr. Moore back on the phone?
Yeah, here
he is. Hi, guys.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Jay. Sorry about that, buddy. How are you?
I'm well. Lisa May in the house in the second chair, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Thank you for noticing, Jay.
Kevin Ryder is holding you back.
Is that Kevin, what you think? That's not
Kevin Ryder didn't show up today. Too much celebrating from the King Stanley Cup win, we think, Jay.
Yeah.
I had a corporate gig downtown at the JW Marriott and last night.
Oh, my God.
And all the organizers were like, oh, they were like cursing the Kings. I'm like, well, it's kind of a big deal. You can't really fault them for having a victory parade.
Yeah, if you're going to get up, if you're going to get upset every single time the Kings win the Stanley Cup, I think you're going to be okay.
Bean, you'll love this. My driver on the way to the gig goes, I fell asleep in the car and I wake up downtown. He goes, hey, that wasn't bad 1 hour. You know, when the president was in town, everything was blocked off. That same drive took me 2.5 hours. So I'm not voting for him this time.
Oh, are you serious?
The guy actually said that to me. I was like, yeah, it's much better to not lock up streets, have no security, so the guy selling oranges on Florence and Normandy could beat the president over the head with a chihuahua.
It is weird, though.
Security? Like, I'm not voting for him. He made himself safe.
But he understands that whoever the president is, when he comes to town, it's going to cause traffic trouble, right? Yeah, doesn't have anything to do with who the particular man is.
But when you're a black president, it's much different, apparently. Because no matter what he does, it's the worst thing that's ever happened to anybody.
Jay, you have such a weird life. I suspect there's a lot going on that we don't know about you. This corporate gig, is this the thing you were emceeing some sort of a product launch awards show or some BS like that?
No, it's actually the corporate gig. I don't want to take away from WeSparks. All the
I'm just trying to figure out how you decide which gigs to do.
They pay me. Whoever hits my quote, I waltz right in. I'm the belle of the ball.
So you would do a bat mitzvah if they hit your quote?
Absolutely.
Funeral? Would you do a funeral?
I would play. Yeah, I would say amazing things about the deceased, and I would make up. Like I would make them. I'd be like, you know, when Mr. Cohen played in the Negro Leagues. Not a lot of people know that he was the only white man to ever play in the Negro Leagues.
See, I think I want Jay Moore to do my funeral.
I think that's awesome.
It'll happen. I'll tell you what. Put me down. I'm all doing right. Lisa May's funeral.
That would be the best.
I'm going to do it all as trade. Lisa May lays here, and you don't even notice she's pregnant.
That would be so awesome because, look, people are bummed out by funerals, but they would come away from Lisa's funeral and they would go, that was the best funeral I ever went to. That was so much fun.
And isn't that all you want? Really?
Yeah.
At the end
that's
of the day?
That's what you're looking for. That's what you're looking for. When we were switching phones, Jay, when we dropped you, I was telling the kids that they not only for their $25 tomorrow night get to see the great Jay Moore on stage, but you also have Wendy Liebman, who's going to be there, who's very funny, Paul Reiser, very funny, and Last Comic Standing winner Alonzo Bowden, all on one stage on one night. Now, what's this WeSpark Cancer Support Center? Is it as obvious as the name?
Yeah, it's a cancer support center. You kind of nailed it. But what's great is it really goes to it's really heavy towards people without health insurance. So it really helps out families and the support system for families and cancer patients that don't have the financial stability that people with health insurance would have. Gives them a lot of support. It's really incredible. And, you know, you're not going to see a better show, except for April Foolishness, but to see that type of different comics, like to get Paul Reiser, Alonzo, myself, and Wendy. I mean, those are like four really different comics. That's a really neat show that I can't wait to go. And I can't wait to see Wendy Liebman live. I've never seen her live in like 15 years. I'm excited about it.
$25 is all it is. It's going to be at the Saban Theater, and the website is Saban, S-A-B-A-N, theater.org. Jay, real quick, have you been watching the NBA Finals?
No, the basketball just sickens me. It's just a horrible product. I'm all into the fighting and the hockey.
What's wrong with the NBA? These are some of the biggest stars, some of the best athletes in the world out there playing for you every night for
free.
I
like the game. I don't want stars. I want a game. I want a nice game. Like hockey is like a great team game with four different lines of men interchanging, working together for one common goal, not like one guy waving four other guys away saying, let's play 1-on-5 like we're at Rucker Park.
Well, you've been watching the wrong teams then. There are teams that play together as a team, you know.
Name them.
Oklahoma City.
Yeah, they say
who
they
plays guys together as a team. San Antonio plays together as a team.
No, that's two guys. It's a two-man game. Two guys put up 60 points, and the rest of the team trickles in when they can.
I'm so surprised, knowing what a big sports fan you are, to find out that especially this NBA Finals that we've been looking forward to all season long is not one that you're interested in.
Look, I used to love basketball so much, but it's the only sport where the referees routinely determine the outcome of the game. It's absurd. Wow. You look at the amount of free throws in the game. A hand check foul, a foul is a foul. Every game you see guys falling all over the floor and there's no whistle. It's like nobody falls on the ground by themselves.
There was a no call.
Except for Kevin this morning.
There was a no call on LeBron last night that ticked a lot of people off, and you're right. I mean, there have been some terrible ref calls and non-calls throughout this NBA playoff series in particular.
You can't have a sport outcome be because of subjectiveness. Like, pass interference is pass interference in football, no matter which way you slice it. And 99 times out of 10, everyone at home and the referee get it right. They go, well, that was pass interference. The guy didn't get his head around the time. But let's not talk sports and alienate all your fantastic female listeners. Let's talk about Ina, the barefoot Contessa. Don't tell Jeffrey. Make a chicken and a man shows up. How bad could that be? Yeah, I just get them right back in. 12 seconds and you're hooked.
I don't know what happened there, but I need to hear the rest of that story. WeSpark Cancer Support Center. It's going to be tomorrow night. Go see the great Jay Moores on stage for just $25 at Saban Theater, S-A-B-A-N Theater.org. Get those tickets for tomorrow night. Wendy Liebman, Paul Reiser, and Alonzo Bowden. Yes,
sir. And don't forget to see me at Lisa May's funeral in 35 years.
Yes, I hope it's in 35 years.
No, I looked at the paperwork. I'm sorry. 35 years, 4 months. So you can round up if
okay.
you want.
Thank
That's
you.
Good to know.
Thank you so much, Jay.
Jay, you're the best. We're always here for you, buddy. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much.
You're the best. Thank you so much. I love you.
No, you're the best. Bye now. Black Keys, also The Offspring, M83, and Incubus, plus of Monsters and Men. All of that in the next few minutes here on The Kevin DeBean Show. Ralph joins us now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. Hi, Ralph.
Before I get to the beat, how about some tickets? This is for a movie called Ted.
Yay!
Universal Pictures brings you Seth MacFarlane's first motion picture. I don't think it's going to be the last. Ted is hilarious. I had a chance to see this film, and if you'd like to see it before anybody else, you can go to our K-Rock Advanced screening at the AMC Burbank on Tuesday, June the 26th. I'm going to stop by and say hi to everybody for this particular screening, because I'm in the film and I want everyone to have a good experience.
No.
Yes.
No.
Theaters everywhere Friday, June the 29th. But if you want to see Ted before your friends do, you can go to our special screening. First three callers right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Call now. You know, this couples therapy show on VH1 is not helping a lot of people.
I haven't seen that. What's that about?
They should call it Busting Up Couples on VH1 is what they should call it.
Is this real people or celebrities?
Yeah, these are celebrity couples who are struggling in their relationships, come on to couples therapy, and they do wacky competitions and get therapy and stuff. And,
they do competitions?
Well, you know, they have to participate in different events and things, and it's to help them. It's bonding exercises, Lisa.
Okay.
It has taken the life of another couple. This time it's DMX and his longtime wife, Tashira Simmons. She split up with him shortly after VH1's couples therapy that they were on. She said he couldn't believe she wanted out after 13 years of marriage, but she said she couldn't leave the program without asking a divorce, especially since he has been chronically unfaithful and has fathered 6 children with other women outside of their marriage.
She waited for number 6?
For 13 years with 6 kids. After VH1, she decided she was time for her to get out of that marriage.
Wow.
Dude.
That's unbelievable.
Shira says in Essence magazine interview she did that she's all about self-empowerment. You know, obviously, I could tell after you let your husband knock up 6 women. But she says she wants to help other ladies see the light. So
and
there you go.
Just can't believe she left.
I can't believe you want to leave me after all these years.
I'm such a good husband.
This guy, who, by the way, I am a fan of his music and struggle with that because he is a POS,
how dare you, sir.
He's been in and out of jail for dogfighting and rape and guns and drugs and the whole deal. I mean, the guy's a bad, bad person.
He's not the best?
He's not the best, no.
Oh, wow. Do-do-do. Lady Gaga has sent out a twit pic of her much-anticipated new perfume. It's called Fame, and contrary to earlier rumors, it does not smell like blood and semen.
And that was just from you, Ralph. You were the one who started that rumor.
No, that was her.
really?
Yeah, when she announced she was doing a fragrance, said, what's it going to smell like? She goes, well, I would like it to smell like blood and semen. She said that. I know it sounds like something I'd make up.
It does. Sounds like a joke, right?
And then did someone say, maybe that isn't
maybe
a good
people
smell?
Don't want to slather that on their skin, Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Fame, which, by the way, is black. It's one of the few black perfumes you'll see.
The liquid is black.
It is a black fluid.
Huh. Meaning you can see it when you put it on your body?
I think it dissipates when you put it on your body. Yeah. I think just in the bottle it appears to be black. Contains tears of belladonna. Really? That porn star? They made her cry into a bottle? Crushed heart of tiger orchid.
It sounds cruel.
Black veil of incense, pulverized apricot, and the combined essences of saffron and honey. Gaga says she loves it. My perfume is designed for women, but a lot of my gay friends wear it. I bet they do. So there you go. Gaga's fragrance, Fame, coming soon to an overpriced gallery near you.
You were just saying yesterday how much money some of these celebrities make when they go off and do perfume or clothing or whatever it is. The next story you have on this is going to be she made $80 million off selling perfume.
I know. The Beeb's got another fragrance coming out.
Ridiculous.
He did so well with his first one, Someday, that he's releasing Girlfriend on Monday at Macy's.
Yeah.
People are being kind of snarky about it, saying that the bottle kind of looks like the perfume his girlfriend Selena Gomez released last year. I wonder if they just like slap new labels on it. Same old crap with a brand new name.
Yeah.
I don't much about the Bieber. Never see him. I don't know what he does.
No, you don't like the Bieb? And congratulations to the Beach Boys. I know. You never thought I'd hear say those words on this show.
Thank God Kevin's not here. He'd be outraged right now.
They finally beat the Beatles at something. You know their reunion album, this new album they have out? That's Why God Made the Radio?
Yeah, do I?
Yeah, sure. It's number 3.
Yep.
On the album charts.
Highest debut they've ever had. 50 years together.
Yeah, that's their record. The reason they beat the Beatles this week is because they've scored an entry in the Billboard 200 over a span of 49 years.
Wow.
It's the second most anyone has ever had charting records on the Billboard 200 over their career.
That's a pretty impressive span for
a band.
It is.
The Beatles did it.
I mean, whether you like them or not, that's still a pretty impressive record.
Beatles did it for 47 years between Meet the Beatles and their number one album in 2001. Sinatra still is the king, however. 52 years is the gamut that he's had charting albums over.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Anna Torv. I love her so much. She is the star of Fringe. She's a lovely actress and a very nice lady. She's 34 years old. Dryden Mitchell of Alien Ant Farm is 36. Elizabeth Reaser from Twilight is 37 years old.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah. Neil Patrick Harris from How I Met Your Mother. And Doogie, of course, 39. Leah Remini is 42. The Cube. Actor, rapper, Ice Cube, 43 years old. Courtney Cox is 48. Helen Hunt celebrates her 49th birthday. And Jim Belushi celebrates his 58th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Black Keys on K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Love that band so much. Jim Jefferies later on also Ask a Stripper in the 9 o'clock hour. It's been a long time since we've done that one, Ralph.
Yeah, that was one of our early ones, I think. That
should be fun.
This time it was Asking an Angry Stripper, though, so it's different.
They all seem angry to me. I don't know.
Well, that's because you're you.
Yeah, maybe they just don't like me.
Yes.
Jay Leno.
Hey! I said Jay Leno. Congress, huh?
He was interviewed in Us Weekly magazine.
Us Weekly, yes. That's a magazine.
Or they have a feature called 25
Us Weekly.
Right. 25 Things You Don't Know About Me.
Yeah. I don't think I'm funny. That's number one, right?
Yeah, it's not out here, actually. My first on-screen kiss was with Fran Drescher.
Oh, there's a couple. There's a couple made in heaven.
Something we didn't know. I don't drink alcohol, mostly because I am afraid I would like it, says Jay Leno.
Pussy.
The fastest I have gone in a car is 207 miles per hour.
Wow.
Pussy.
My wife Mavis and I have been married for 32 years.
Huge pussy.
I am somewhat dyslexic. It goes on and on. But there's one that really stuck out at us, and we were talking about it in the office yesterday, that people were surprised by.
Yeah, Kevin. People are surprised by this, Kevin.
And I think maybe you, Ralph, most of all, were surprised at number 13 on his top 25 list. I don't like soup.
Yeah, what the hell?
There's got to be a kind of soup you like.
It seems like a soup, by the way.
It seems like a way for people to screw you out of a meal, says Jay Leno.
But if you don't use your teeth, it's not food.
The clam chowder is delicious.
There's a million great soups out there.
I agree. I love soup. I have soup as a meal. Probably about once a week, I'll have toast and soup. That'll be my meal, and I'll be very happy with that.
It's crazy. I'm not in a home, but I'm just saying, from out at a restaurant, you know, and that's one of the first courses, I'll have some soup. I don't sit there by the candle like Scrooge, like Bean, eating toast and soup.
I have made a hearty soup for dinner before.
Oh, you're lame.
It's
but
very
soup can be part of a decent meal,
good
and
food.
There's many great flavored soups that you would just like to have because they taste good.
Yeah.
It does seem odd to me.
I don't like soup.
That an entire food group, soup, would be something that you would like.
My chin keeps dipping into it. That's right, Kevin. Yes, got a big chin.
So it kind of got us to talking about things that everyone likes, but you don't. And I imagine that Jay Leno always has to explain, no soup for me. I don't do soup. I don't like soup. I don't care for soup. And I have something like that, too, that people are always surprised about. And that is that I hate massages. Hate them. I don't want people touching. I don't want anybody touching.
Like they creep you out. They give you.
Yes.
That's madness.
Yes. I can't imagine. I mean, it would be torture for me to lay down on a table and have some person come up and start rubbing their hands on my body would be torture.
But have you ever had one? Have you ever had one?
The only thing I've ever had really is, you know, physical therapy, for instance.
Which is painful.
Because I won't go to a massage because I would never want that.
But if you
I don't
have
like the idea of it.
Really sore, will you let your wife rub it?
No touchy.
What?
No touchy.
That's
what
the
Asperger's. Like
that's the Asperger's. That's the Asperger's, Lisa.
But there's nothing better than a good
This
foot
is Asperger's.
Everything is better than that. I don't want people putting their hands on me and, like,
people,
rubbing and touching
right.
stuff.
Autism. People with autism do not like the human connection.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's nothing. I've often said there's only two real reasons to have money. I've been very poor, and I've had a couple bucks. And the only real good reasons I've found, the only big differences between having money to be able to throw around a little bit are massages and limousines.
Yeah.
It's the two best things awesome. You really? Can get with money. Yes. Massages are my favorite thing ever.
Really?
I get one at every possible opportunity.
You don't feel guilty? It's not a guilty
pleasure. Like, guilty?
No, because you're laying there and somebody else is doing something.
And they're getting well paid.
I don't know. Just seems kind of demeaning that their job is to rub your
what?
Body.
It's yes. a therapeutic experience.
I don't like it.
They're talented technicians and they're proud of their work. Yes. I feel better for the masseur than I do for the dentist. Who has to crawl inside my mouth and be in there and with my spit and my teeth and my blood and my tongue and all that gross yeah. stuff. But the massage person, they just get nice oil and it's nice music and we're both enjoying ourselves and there's massaging and she takes her top off. What?
No. No, you didn't tell me that was part of the deal.
No, I love massages. It's so relaxing. It makes you feel so good afterwards. It's good for
Jay Leto's got soup. I've got massages. Ralph, is there anything that you're the odd man out for?
I think it's something that everybody likes that I don't like.
Besides me, obviously. That goes with
well, no, I'm in the majority there with that. I speak for everyone. Baseball, I guess. Well, a lot of people like baseball, but I don't. But I know a lot of other people who don't like baseball either.
Yeah.
I can't think of something that's sort of universally positive, and yet I have a negative opinion.
How about you, Lisa?
Well, we know the raisins debacle.
Yeah,
right?
You're a weirdo. Don't like raisins.
Who knew that so many people like them? And I don't know if a lot of people like bratwurst or anything in the worst family, but I hate all that stuff.
Like the big sausages?
Ugh. Yes, a sausage of any sort. It's just gross to me.
Wow, that's just odd.
It's just icky. I don't like the taste. I don't like that it pops when I stick a knife in it. It's just gross.
I suspect
it's
not that
we're surgery, Lisa. You're just eating a brat. That's all.
You've seen how they make that, right?
We're going to take.
I ate scrapple. Don't talk to me about how foods are made. True.
I thought the rule was you're never supposed to see how they make sausage. That's like rule
that's
number
right.
one.
Yeah. Well,
let's talk
a reason.
To Stephanie real quick, and we want your calls on things that you're out on. Everybody else is in on, and they can't understand what's going on with you at 1-800-520-1067. I suspect that there are quite a few people who have individual foods. For instance, like me and tomatoes. Like, I hate tomatoes. I can't eat tomatoes, don't like tomatoes.
Yeah, but that's a matter of taste. Let's not try to focus on that too much. Let's try to look at the bigger picture. Just things
bigger picture,
in
right.
life that you don't like.
Yeah, like massages, for instance.
Well, exactly. I don't like the sun. That makes me sort of unique, I guess.
Stephanie, what's your deal? What's the thing that everybody else likes but you just can't get on board with?
Hi, I have weird food issues, too. I don't like soup, which really the deal there is that I don't like any hot liquids. So, like, no coffee, no tea, no hot
nothing?
Chocolate.
No hot liquids.
What? No hot liquids.
Hot chocolate?
I also, nope, no hot chocolate.
Do you bathe? Do you like hot
yeah,
water?
What about that? That's a great question. Would you get in a hot bath?
Yeah, I bathe. I shower. I'm a clean person, but like to ingest the hot liquids.
Oh, I see. It's only internally. You can, like, get to a hot tub. You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Oh, but you don't like it inside you. Okay.
Well, yeah.
So to speak. So to speak.
All right. That is another good question.
You're like, hot liquids inside you. Okay,
that's,
we got that.
Warm is okay, not hot though. Okay. Okay. All right. And what's the other thing? You had thing two.
Yeah, I don't like melted cheese.
Melted cheese is the greatest thing to put on any food ever.
I hear that all the time. It's really hard to go out to eat with people because that means like no Mexican food, no pizza.
Oh,
anytime
wow.
I go anywhere, I have to tell them no cheese, and they always ask, "Are you lactose intolerant?" And I'm not. I just don't like the texture.
You say I'm just damaged.
So it's a texture thing, kind of like Lisa with raisins. Then there's just something about it that just kind of wigs you out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you don't like gooey and you don't like hot.
Right, and I don't like meat in my salads, like chicken on a Caesar salad or anything where textures are mixed.
Wow,
like casseroles
you
that kind
are
of stuff.
No fun.
No hot, no meat, no gooey. How do you keep a man? How do you keep a man around?
Stephanie, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. This is going to be interesting. Your call is coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Yeah!
That's the Ralph Garman mix of The Offspring there on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ. Here's the thing, is that everyone's crazy in some way. It's just a question of finding out how they're crazy. The reaction we're getting to this topic of the thing that you hate that everybody else loves is insane, Ralph.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Listen to this. Diego writes to the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean, I hate gum. It freaks me out. I would never kiss a girl if she is chewing that disgusting gooey thing.
What a joke.
It makes your breath fresh.
And Nora. If a girl likes gooey things in her mouth, you win, Diego.
Nora writes it on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. I hate hugs. I don't mind them for my immediate family, but for my friends, bleck. They freak me out. Hugs.
Oh, my God.
Hugs are fun. I learned that on Yo Gabba Gabba.
on the food tip, and then we're going to go back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Tell me you get any crazier than these. I'll read real fast. Ian writes in, granted, I've always been a finicky eater, but the one thing I've never been able to stand is water. I can't drink it. It makes me gag. That's what Ian says.
Ian has never had a glass of water.
That's not human.
Matthew says, I hate ice in my drinks. Absolutely. Water is the only thing I want. I hate ice. How crazy is that? Jill hates ice cream. I've never liked it. I've never met anyone else who doesn't like it. Oh, do we have another ice cream one?
Should have talked to Tammy there in line one.
Give me Tammy here. I want to find out what the deal is, because isn't ice cream – I mean, there's a point in every young person's life where they think ice cream is the only food they ever want to eat as long as they live, right?
Of course. It's ridiculous.
Tammy, what's going on with you, girlfriend?
I don't know. It's too sweet.
Oh, stop.
That's for – I'm not – and I don't like sweets so much, and – I don't like anything really creamy. It's just
oh my god!
Yeah, that disgusting sweet creamy taste.
Nobody wants that.
Tart flavored frozen yogurt. That's pretty much it.
How's the temperature of ice cream for you? Is that suitable?
I've never liked it.
It's just creamy and sweet. Okay,
it's delicious, cold, sweet, and creamy.
I'm a freak nature, so.
What was it like when you were a kid? Did you have brothers and sisters who loved ice cream and you wouldn't have anything to do with it?
Yeah. Everyone in my family loves ice cream.
Well, Tammy, it's because ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream.
Yay! All right, Tammy, you're a freak show. You are a freak show, but thank you very much for calling. All right, let's talk to Nikki real quick. She's on line three. Let's move away from food. Now we're going to get into some very dark areas here. Nikki, what is it that everyone else loves that you hate?
Ladybugs.
Oh, they're the cutest of all the bugs.
Nikki, they're good.
No, they're
good
not. They're gross.
They're adorable. They're red with little spots on them.
Oh, when you look at them up close, have you looked at their heads? They're like black and shiny and ugh. And they've bitten me twice.
They have never bitten you.
Don't bite.
A ladybug has never bitten anyone in the history of the world. You're making it up.
Well, it turns out there's a kind of them that do bite people, but they look like the rest.
You're
and
insane.
They go after you.
Are you calling from an institution?
By the way,
no, there are secret ladybugs who do bite, but they look like the other ones. They go in disguise. They look like the nice ladybugs, but they're the biting kind.
Jesus told me.
Yeah.
Time for tapioca.
Put your straitjacket back on, Nikki.
When was the last time you saw a ladybug, and where, Nikki?
When was the last time I saw one?
Yeah.
Probably when I saw it on a door handle and I couldn't open the door.
Of course
not.
Oh,
you must have been so freaked out.
Those vicious ladybugs.
One time in my car once. That was bad.
Thank you for the
call.
You should
have crashed.
Up the medication. Seriously, I'm a doctor. Take more medication. Thank you for the call. By the way, ladybug literally might be the safest, tamest, quietest, easiest animal to get along with in the world.
It's the only cutest bug. It's the only cute bug that people like. Oh, look, it landed on my arm. How cute. It's like a pet. They love that.
Yes.
All right. JC is on line five. JC, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Everyone else loves it. You hate it. What is it?
When people do my dishes, I hate when people do my dishes. They don't work up enough lather.
Oh, my God. You are a high-maintenance broad.
I taught my husband how to do them the right way, but if anybody else does them, I, like, flip out. They can't do my dishes.
I taught my husband how to do them the right way. That poor bastard.
Do you not put them in the dishwasher?
We don't have a dishwasher because the house was built in '53, so they have to be done by hand.
Yeah. And they
by
have
the way,
to be done perfectly.
By the way, this is an aside. I'm not trying to co-sign on JC, but I hate dishwashers. I will not use a dishwasher.
What?
I insist on doing dishes
they
by hand.
They don't get your
dishes clean enough? Dishwasher?
I agree.
If you
I agree.
Rinse them what? Good, they
I
do?
Only I only do dishes by hand. Absolutely. I'm totally with you on that, JC.
Oh.
Thank you for the call.
Oh, the madness. Wow. I'm surrounded by too much madness.
Let's do one more. Matthew is going to be on line 8. He'll have to be the last call, but my God, I mean, I've gotten 100, literally 100 emails on this topic. It's just insane how everybody has that thing they're just dying to complain about. Matthew, go ahead.
All right. I hate to see the top of girls' butt cracks.
Yeah, that's horrible, man.
Guys are okay though.
No, I mean not even for guys because I'm not generally looking at their lower back area. But you know, if I happen to stare at the back of a girl and I see the top of her butt crack, I get really upset.
What could possibly be wrong with that?
I don't know.
If she's hot.
Even if she's hot and the top of her butt crack is showing, I get super angry.
Angry. Because you want your hot chicks to be born without a way to poop? Is that what you're hoping for?
Maybe that's it.
If her pants are fully off, it's totally fine. But if the top of her butt crack is showing, I don't like it.
How about if they're eating ice cream and a ladybug lands on them?
No exception.
The top of the butt crack is the trailer of the movie that you're dying to see. How can that not be good?
What can he say? Just it schemes about.
Oh, Matthew,
thank you very much for the call. This has been illuminating and terrifying.
Depressing is what it is.
Coming up just after 9 o'clock this morning, Sarah Tressler is going to be here. She has a fascinating book out called Diary of an Angry Stripper. She lost her job working for a Houston newspaper. She was working for the Chronicle, Lisa, because she did not put on her application that she also worked part-time as a stripper. Even though she had a master's degree in journalism, was a great employee, great writer, they fired her because she was also working as a stripper, which last time I checked, still legal, right?
Yeah, totally. I would think she'd have a lawsuit.
No wonder she does. No wonder she's an angry stripper. So she'll be joining us to tell us how that is coming along right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Right now, our old friend Jim Jeffries back on the phone talking to us from Las Vegas. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Doing great. Speaking of angry strippers, have you had any stripper encounters, especially since you're out there in Las Vegas?
I haven't, but I left Eddie Ift last night with some strippers. So if his girlfriend's listening, Eddie was definitely off with strippers last night.
You guys are such good friends.
Yeah, you're always so helpful for him. You're in Las Vegas right now, but you're coming home. You're doing the Brea Improv tonight, two shows tomorrow night. And then again on Sunday, you can get tickets available through BreaImprov.com. Just $22 to see the great Jim Jeffries, who has been outstanding on the last two April Foolishnesses. What you been up to, Jim? What's new with you?
I just got my TV show on FX, which is coming out January. We just got commissioned for 13 episodes, so that's the big news story.
Wow, that's awesome.
How much acting have you done, Jim?
None.
None?
And I'm playing myself in this TV show, and I find that difficult. So I'm not the best actor in the world.
So they come up to you and they go, I don't think it's realistic enough, or I don't think a person would really do this. And you're like, hey, listen, mate, this is me. This is my life. This is how I go.
That's exactly right. We got a great guy. We've got DJ Qualls in there playing a guy with muscular dystrophy, which is cool because, you know, DJ already looks disabled, so we don't have to do very much.
So that was easy casting for him, right?
Hopefully we go to like 10 seasons, so people are always associating with a wheelchair.
Sure.
Like personal appearances in wheelchairs. It's just what I want.
I think that's a great idea. Now, why'd you want to be doing a sitcom? The reason I ask that is because, especially a guy like you who has such a strong comedy voice, doesn't it seem like once you get on a network, everybody's going to tell you what they think is funny and how you ought to be doing it? Kind of takes a lot of the power out of your hands, doesn't it, Jim?
Well, yes and no. I wanted to do the show on FX because, to be honest with you, the Louis show, it was a big influence on the whole thing because that was such an original comedy and generally the best working stand-up comic in the world right now is Louis C.K. Mm-hmm. So I thought if he could do it, I could probably do a poor version of it myself.
Yeah. No, that Louis C.K. is incredible. I mean, that is so brave, some of the stuff that he deals with on that program, too. I mean, more than half of the time, it's not a comedy either. It gets really dark, doesn't it?
Look, I mean, honestly, I can't watch more than two episodes at once. Like, it's on Netflix, and I can't sit through three or four of them because I get depressed.
Yeah, you know? Totally. This is the voice of Jim Jeffries here on the phone here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He's at the Brea Improv tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday. How about Girls? Are you watching that on HBO, Jim?
No, I didn't even know. What's Girls?
Oh, don't you think he would love it, Lisa?
I don't know.
Really?
I don't think he would.
She's...
I don't think I'd enjoy it because I've hated Girls my entire life.
Yeah.
No.
You hate them even more.
They hate you, Jim. I don't think you hate them. I think you got that backwards. No,
yeah,
this is
the thing. That's why I could never be gay. It's not because, you know, I'm a man. Men like me. I like men. We like each other, right?
Gotcha.
I couldn't be gay because I could never have sex with a man, because I could never have sex with something I respect.
Nice. <Wow. laughs> I wonder why girls hate him.
I can't imagine.
That's a good joke, kids.
It is indeed. Jim, listen, if you're ever flipping around, honestly, it's very Louis C.K.-esque in that she is this writer, actress named Lena Dunham, who has this very specific point of view about her life and gets herself into very awkward and embarrassing situations. And I really do think you would like it very much. It's really, really good.
It sounds like Sex and the City, but with a storyline.
I don't think it's as fluffy as...
It's got a lot of depth, actually.
Yeah. Anyway, it's called Girls. It's on HBO. It really is an awesome show. And when is your show? Not until January, you said, right? It's called Legit?
It's called Legit. We're writing it right now. It should be airing, I think, January 7th or something like that, I got told. But the first week in January, it comes out.
Very exciting. Well, I know that we will talk to you many times between now and then, my friend. How are you getting back? You heading to the airport, getting on a plane, coming home right now?
I'm going back to sleep, get rid of this hangover for a little bit. I'm going to blow my nose and get all the coke box out. And then I'm going to drive back.
Okay.
Sounds like a good plan. Maybe I learned more than I needed to.
I'm sorry. I just thought I wasn't allowed to swear.
Yes, you're not allowed to swear. That is accurate. Save that for the stage tonight. Brea Improv, tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. See the great Jim Jeffries in concert. You will die laughing. $22. Tickets available through BreaImprov.com.
Actually, it's probably best if you go tomorrow night. Tonight's going to be a pretty hangover gig. You'll just see me sitting on the stage with a blanket around me drinking chicken soup. It's going to be horrible.
Yeah, you sound a little bit rough today. Maybe save it for tomorrow night then. Sounds great. Jim, have a great weekend, man. Thanks for coming on, as always.
Thanks a lot, guys. Bye.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
So good on the West Wing. Now he can be seen on Spike on USA. Not Spike. Psych over on USA Today. Not today.
Nope.
I can't stop thinking about these cupcakes.
That was a moment with Ralph.
First of all, he was on Spike on USA Today. So do your research.
Good times.
Open up a blog.
How's the angry stripper? Are we going to be okay with this, Ralph?
She's lovely and doesn't seem all that angry.
Okay.
Maybe her anger has subsided.
We are going to meet her coming up right after the top of the hour. The beautiful Sarah Tress is here, and your chance to ask a stripper on the way. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Friday. What's happening?
Before I get to the showbiz news, I do want to mention tomorrow night, I'm going to be spending the evening with a movie star. That's usually how I spend my Saturday nights. Uh-huh. Usually naked in bed with a male movie star. But this time, it's me doing comedy with one David Koechner. You know him, of course, as Champ Kind from Anchorman. You know him as Todd Packer from The Office. He's been in a lot of great stuff, and he's a very funny, very cool guy. He's my co-host for Hollywood Babylon tomorrow night, 10 p.m., the John Lovitz Comedy Club. Go to thelovitz.com or babylonralph.com for more details and to get your tickets. Come join us, won't you? This is a cool thing. I'm a big Godfather fan. I know Kevin is, too. Mm-hmm. Maybe I got a Christmas present for him. Don't tell
him.
It's
one of the only movies from the '70s that he will admit to liking.
Yeah, it is a special Godfather version of Monopoly.
Yeah,
really?
That would be cool. You know, they make special versions for different stuff. Sometimes they'll do it for
hundreds of them,
colleges and universities and different cities and different
The Beatles.
They've got a Batman one, I think. But Hasbro and Paramount Pictures have collaborated on the Godfather saga 40th anniversary. Monopoly game, and I bet that's awesome. I bet one of the pieces is like a horse's head. You get to move it around the board,
sure.
And then you can land on Havana, Cuba, and build some casinos and stuff.
This is a dumb question.
Good, then by all means,
do people still play Monopoly? Still popular?
Yes.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's still one of the top three best-selling board games in America.
Wow. I didn't know if that was a game that has, you know, kind of faded out. Maybe, you know, we grew up with it, but I didn't know if, you know,
it's perennial.
Kids today are still being introduced to it and still playing it when they're young.
And it's perennial, and I think it's also genius that they do all these different versions of it, too. It keeps it popular, keeps it interesting. Lucy Lawless, you know her as Xena, Warrior Princess. She was also in Battlestar Galactica as one of the
And she's on Cylons. Game of Thrones, right?
That's right, yeah. She was in court yesterday, appearing with members of Greenpeace, who were charged with trespassing aboard an oil drilling ship that was leaving a New Zealand port back in February. They were attempting to keep the ship in port instead of letting it leave to assume its role in an Arctic drilling expedition. She pled guilty in the case, and she and the members of the environmental activist group Greenpeace could get a maximum of 3 years in jail if convicted. So... Wow. Game of Thrones better start looking for casting options. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Yeah. Harris poll of your favorite TV dads. They do this every year because, of course, Father's Day is rolling around on Sunday. Here's the top 10 TV dads of all time, according to the Harris poll. Ben Cartwright from Bonanza, Tim Taylor from Home Improvement, Charles Ingalls from Little House on the Prairie, Ozzie Nelson from The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. I lost the second half of my list.
Ryan Gosling,
he's one. Let me find it. Yeah, Mike Brady from The Brady Bunch, Andy Taylor from The Andy Griffith Show, Howard Cunningham from Happy Days, Jim Anderson from Father Knows Best, Ward Cleaver from Leave It to Beaver, and Cliff Huxtable, number one from The Cosby Show, his favorite TV dad. More recent dads like Peter Griffin are further down on the list. He's number 12. We talked about this list earlier today, Bean, and you were complaining that these dads were all from older TV shows.
Yeah.
Who would you pick as a current, like, TV dad? There's not a lot of fathers focused, especially sitcoms. There's not a lot of family sitcoms popular right now.
What about Modern Family Dad? He's a pretty good dad.
Ty Burrell?
Character? Seems to be extremely active and interested in his kids, for instance.
And then you got the two gay dads. You could nominate them as well.
Absolutely great dads. And I mentioned, it's been off the air now a year, but I mentioned Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights. Phenomenal TV dad. Yeah. I would have liked to have seen him on that list as well.
No one knows who that is, though. people at HBO, we're talking about Game of Thrones, they have apologized profusely for one of their props. I don't know if you saw this story or not, but in episode 10 of season 1 of Game of Thrones, now on DVD, there is a scene where there's some beheaded heads on pikes in this battlefield. And if you look very closely, it's very obvious one of the heads on the stake is that of George W. Bush.
Really?
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely George W. Bush. And in the DVD commentary, one of the writers is saying, as they're in that scene, look, this is not a choice. It's not a political statement. We just had to use the heads we had around. And apparently, for some reason, there was a prosthetic head of George W. Bush. It's from a wax dummy or something. They buy the stuff in bulk, apparently. So you order a shipload of body parts, and they send you so many arms and so many legs.
So they
just
try to fill
up
the frame with whatever heads,
right? So they put wigs on all these heads and put them on these pikes, and it turned out one of them was George W. Bush.
Why would they call attention to that? Why would they? I mean, are they trying to create controversy to sell DVDs? Because I don't get the point of that.
We use a lot of prosthetic body parts in the show, heads, arms, etc. We can't afford to have all these made from scratch, especially in scenes where we need a lot of them, so we rent them in bulk, said the writer. So there you go.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Yeah, I bet you
did. Did you hear President Bush's comment on the controversy?
No, I missed it.
I got it.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, but in Tennessee, that says fool me once. Shame on you.
What? On who? What?
Shame on you.
Me? Okay.
That was the point. That's what he was trying to say.
Fool me, you can't get fooled again. I got you. Today's celebrity birthdays: Jim Belushi's 58. Helen Hunt turns 49. Courtney Cox is 48 years old. Can you believe that?
No.
She looks great for 48.
Yes.
She, of course, and
Lisa's
all pissy
about
it.
What's wrong with her looking good?
Nothing.
She's divorcing David Arquette this week. I hope they can still remain friends.
Oh, no, you did.
Ice Cube's 43. Leah Remini's 42. Neil Patrick Harris turns 39 years old today. Dryden Mitchell, singer for Alien Ant Farm, is 36. Elizabeth Reaser from Twilight is 37. Anna Torv from Fringe is 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat
of Monsters and Men on the world famous K-Rock.
106.7 KROQ on a Friday. Two words you ordinarily don't want to see together, angry and stripper. Although, I have to tell you, so far, Sarah Tressler in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, not a bad deal. I'm not I'm not minding it at all.
Thank
you don't seem angry at all, Sarah. How are you? Welcome.
It's because I'm sleepy.
Oh, okay. Sleep. We haven't caught you with your angry moment.
No.
Sarah is on Twitter, at Angry Stripper, and the website is diaryofanangrystripper.com. We made reference to why you were in the news recently, earlier today, but for people who didn't hear the story, what happened to you down in Houston? This is unbelievable.
I was working as a high society reporter for the Houston Chronicle, which is Texas' largest daily newspaper. And I was also working a little bit as a dancer. I'd been dancing for years. Mm-hmm. And a rival paper, an alt-weekly, outed me as a stripper. So the headline was like, Kront Society Reporter is Stripper by Night. And it had like a picture of me that they had taken off of my blog where I'm at work taking a picture of my slutty Santa outfit for Christmas. You know, you dress up for that.
Sure.
Kind of thing.
Sure.
And so I got fired from the Chronicle the next day.
Now, that seems to raise a lot of legal issues. I mean, you weren't doing drugs. You weren't committing crime. How did they have the right to fire you? Did you have some sort of a morals clause or something in your contract with Houston Chronicle?
The reason that they gave me, the reason that my editor-in-chief gave me was that I didn't list dancing as prior employment on my job application. So, therefore,
You lied.
Yeah. He was like, you lied, so... The cornerstone of any credible journalist is their trustworthiness, and so I can't trust you, so it's best if we just terminate this relationship.
Hmm. Were you surprised?
Yes, because one of the things that, you know, I told him whenever he brought that point up was that as a dancer, you're not an employee of any club because you pay these clubs, not the other way around, so that you can work there. Mm-hmm. You're basically an independent contractor. You're like paying like a licensing fee to use their space, that kind of a thing.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Why didn't you list stripping on your application?
Well, because it wasn't employment, like I said, but also because I didn't feel like it was germane to the position for which I was applying. Like, you know, I've also worked at a toy store, I've worked at a surf shop, I've worked at Taco Bell. These are also things that were not listed as prior employment on my job application, and those were actual employment, so.
Mm-hmm. But I wonder if the fact that it was high society reporting versus just being a reporter on the street makes a difference to them.
I think that probably did make a difference to them, but I'm just speculating.
So. Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about your background, because this is fascinating to me. I mean, you are more than qualified to write for the Houston Chronicle, right?
Yeah, I have a master's degree from NYU in journalism. I teach at the University of Houston. I'll be there this fall teaching writing for print and digital media.
So they
media.
Still think you can teach?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's good.
You can teach even though you're a hot chick who takes her clothes off for money? You can still teach?
Yes.
What's the wait list to get into your class, teacher?
You know, all those writing labs are always over full, so there's a wait list, but I doubt it's because of me.
I don't know. I think you're selling yourself short. So what? So how long ago did this happen where you lost the newspaper job?
That was March, the end of March.
And where are we now? I mean, is an investigation going on? Is there going to be a... suing them or what?
I'm not suing them right now. I filed a complaint with the EEOC asking them to do an investigation with the charge of gender discrimination. Because, mm-hmm. you know, like, as you may know, most... exotic dancers are female, so if you're being fired for being an exotic dancer, that adversely affects females. This was Gloria Allred who's helping me with this.
Gotcha. So you're not suing them, though. That's interesting. How come?
Not yet.
golly, the Houston Chronicle. I liked you guys so much. I really did. Just because, you know, I didn't like the way that sounded to sue them.
It's an ordeal, too.
Yeah.
It tests you a
lot as
well.
I don't want it to turn into something kind of ugly or like this is just for money or something like that. So
you just wanted to raise the question, hey, where are we in society where something like this happens, where we are essentially discriminated against because of a legal choice that we're making in our part-time hours?
Right, yeah.
I understand that. Totally, yeah. So how long have you been stripping, Sarah?
Since I was 22.
And how'd you get into it?
I got into, you know, a lot of this is outlined in my book, Diary of an Angry Stripper. That's a chapter that I added that was not previously published, but just briefly. It was something that kind of stuck in my mind after I talked to a couple of people who I knew, girls who I knew who had worked in clubs, and it didn't sound as scary as I thought it was going to be. So I tried it out. And I remember when I first started, I was like, I'm just going to do this for a year.
You're like people that go to Vegas to make a lot of money for a year.
Yeah, I'll just quit. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
And the story that I have heard from ladies that we've spoken with over the years doing the Kevin and Bean show here is that the money is so good that it's almost impossible to walk away from because there's no other way you could make that much in that short of time, right?
Well, I mean, if you're like a Wall Street trader, you can probably make that kind of money. I mean, right. I'm not saying that we make as much as that. And honestly, right. I bet a lot of these, I wonder if a lot of these girls aren't inflating their income because it varies widely. And if they were dancers in LA, I don't know how they were making that much money because I tried dancing in LA. And let me tell you, these clubs.
A lot of them go to Vegas for the weekend.
Okay, well, that makes more sense. Yeah.
Houston is one of the cities in the United States that's known for having great strip clubs and very attractive women and, you know, just great places to go visit. Is the money good for the girls there?
Yeah. Are you kidding? You got big oil. Big oil doesn't play around. They like pretty ladies. They don't mind paying for them.
Would you be comfortable telling us how much you could make as a stripper there?
Or maybe just in a night. What's a good night?
A good night is like $100 per hour on average.
And you that's do nice. Like an 8-hour shift?
I don't usually work an 8-hour shift because 8 hours at the club and I'm starting to like go a little zany.
That would be rough, yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
One of the things that you write about in the book, and again, if you're just joining us, Sarah Tressler is in studio. You can follow her on Twitter, @AngryStripper, and the book is called Diary of an Angry Stripper, which is available for pre-order right now. One of the things that you write about in the book is kind of an introduction to stripping, really, for even for the girls and for the patrons, right? Mm-hmm. The ins and outs, the do's and don'ts, mm-hmm. yeah. how it all works.
Yeah.
We would love to let our listeners call in and ask you some questions because I'm sure there are a lot of people who don't have a lot of strip club experience who have always wanted to know something. Would you be up for taking some calls?
Of course.
Oh, that'd be great. 1-800-520-1067. That is the number. If you want to ask an angry stripper, I never thought I'd say those words, but today is your lucky day. Our
don't
calls for Sarah Tressler coming up next. We'll take your calls next right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. No one knows. That's why we have an angry stripper in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. 1-800-520-1067. It's your chance to ask a stripper.
Ask me.
We're going to ask a stripper. She's hot and she loves to take off clothes. Damn, I want to see one of your nudie shows. We're going to ask a stripper. Are there guys that you find really icky? Even when they're wet and sticky. We're gonna ask a stripper. Oh my god, I think I'm in heaven. How much money did you make from Kevin? Now that I sang this song, can we see them? I think I'm in love with you. We're gonna ask a stripper.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Did you guys write that for me?
That's unfortunate. 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to ask the beautiful Sarah Tressler, who is in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. @AngryStripper is the Twitter handle. The book is called Diary of an Angry Stripper, and it's available for pre-order everywhere now. Hey, real quick before we go to the calls, what was your stripper name, Sarah, and how did you pick it?
Okay, the first one was Laura, and that is my sister.
And that was
she was so happy.
I don't know that she ever knew, but yeah, I'm just not very original at coming up with fake names.
No one ever uses their real, even first name, though, right?
I use my real first name now, yes, at the club where I work, I do.
Oh, well, how about
that? You kind of got outed anyway.
Well,
so.
I take the H off the end, so like if you spell it, mm-hmm. it looks different.
Okay. And what's your favorite song to strip to?
Right now, I really like My Medicine by The Pretty Reckless.
Nice.
Do y'all have that? I really like that song.
That's a good song. That's very sexy.
Yeah.
All right, let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. If you would like to ask a stripper, Sarah is in studio with us. Charles gets us going. He is on line 3. Hi, Charles. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. What's your question?
I've heard, stories about customers that maybe get a little too forward or inappropriate. I was curious if she'd be willing to share maybe, one of her not so great experiences.
Too forward or inappropriate? Gosh, there's so many.
Some guys come to the strip club, they're just all hands, which is a no-no. But I imagine in Houston, they got a pretty sophisticated strip club setup. You've probably got a lot of people looking out for you, right, to jump in and help.
I mean, we have, there's always like a team of managers roaming the floor to make sure that, nothing too horrible is happening. But, you're kind of on your own a little bit. You have to
handle it.
Yeah, you have to learn how to handle it and how to kind of, dip out of the way a little bit if they're, you don't want to make them mad because they're customers and it's a customer service industry. And I try not to make them feel like they're complete jerks. But sometimes,
kind of a fine line that you
walk.
Yeah,
it really is about just very subtle gives and takes, you know.
And you can understand, I mean, not to excuse, you know, anything illegal or unwanted, but you can understand how they get a little worked up sometimes, too, and you have to kind of navigate that, I guess.
Yeah, you do have to navigate that. Yeah, it's definitely about just kind of keeping them, you know, excited, but not to the point where they can't control themselves either.
Thank you for the call, Charles. Let's go to John, like that's your real name. He's on line 5. John, you're on with Sarah Tressler. Ask a stripper. Go ahead.
Hey, Sarah, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Hey, question. So has there ever been a gentleman or client that you've wanted to hook up with and you needed to convey it to him in a certain way? Because, you know, you're going to be nice to everybody, so certain guys don't know if you're actually interested in them.
This is very rare, like super rare, that I meet a guy at the club that I actually want to, you know, be with outside the club. Mm-hmm. Usually they turn into my boyfriend for some amount of time, but I mean, that I get asked to dinner all the time, and I always say no. But if I want to see the guy, I'll just say yes. It's really simple.
So you don't have a no client policy.
I never dive right in. Like, I just met you. You know, this is the first time I've ever seen you. So let's go to dinner. It's usually a little bit longer and drawn out than that. But I mean, I guess I can't say I don't have a no client policy because two of my past boyfriends have been previous customers.
But do interesting. You, like, if a guy comes all the time to the club, then is that sort of a red flag? Maybe
it's a little
not
creepy.
So much.
Yeah.
That has to
John,
hit the right
John, thanks
note.
For the call.
Yeah.
Have you had any trouble with having a boyfriend and then you're involved so he doesn't want you to dance anymore?
Yes. I mean, it wasn't really I guess it turned into a problem. But yeah, and I tried to quit for that person and I wasn't ready to quit. And, you know, there's a little bit of resentment that comes from doing something, which, you know, I think is fine. And it was somebody who met me there and, you know, knows what goes on and whatever. And still.
And they say, I'll be fine with this.
Yeah, at first.
And then they're not.
And then they're like, I hate when you go there. And, you know, it turns into a fight every time. And finally, I'm just like, okay, fine, I'll do something else. And it's like, don't ask me to be something I'm not. You know, this is what I like doing right now. So please don't try to boss me around.
Let's go to Stephanie. She's on line 1. She's a lady who I think may be interested in getting into the business. So this is a great call. Stephanie, you're on with Sarah. Ask a stripper.
Hi, Sarah. Hi, hey, Kevin.
Hello.
I lost my job this year, and I was thinking about stripping to pick up some extra money, but I'm a thick girl, and I wondered, is there a place for, you know, heavy-set women in stripping?
Let me see. Let me think about some of the places I've worked. You know, I think clubs like to have kind of a cross-section of girls. They don't want everybody to look the same. It depends on where you work, though. It depends on the city that you're working in. There's all these different variables, so... I mean, if you carry yourself very well, even if you're a little thick and your skin looks really good and you're like gorgeous in your face and stuff like that, and you have a lot of confidence, then you might be able to pull it off. But otherwise, you're probably going to get a lot of no's.
Yeah. I mean,
have confidence.
You got to be sexy. Can you get on stage and be sexy?
I have confidence and I have big boobs.
Big well, boobs go a long way.
Really good do. Luck. Good luck, Stephanie. Hope it works out for you. Thank you very much.
All right, we got time. Fat.
Hey, no, enough with that. We got time for a couple more. Let's try Dustin. He's on line 2. He's got a question that I'm sure lots of people have. And by the way, much of this material discussed in the book Diary of an Angry Stripper, available now as a pre-order, coming out next month. Hi, Dustin. You're on the air. Go ahead.
What's up, guys?
Hey, hi, Dustin.
So, I've been just yeah, but everybody.
Oh, we're losing you, Dustin. We're going to hang up, and you can listen to the answer off the air. He wanted to ask what really goes on in the VIP rooms. Most of us don't get in there. What's happening back there?
It's up to the girl most of the time, to a large degree. So, I mean, I have a customer who I sit up in VIP, and we have dinner. We order, you know, salad, entree, dessert, bottle of wine, and, you know, he gets some dances, too. And, you know, maybe he'll get dances between the courses.
That is not what I was expecting.
Sometimes you just go in there and play Xbox. Like, anything
oh my God,
can happen,
really,
right?
It would be cool if they had a club that had Xbox and VIP, like a Wii. We could do, like, fake tennis.
Awesome.
How much, and I know it's different city to city, state to state, and depending on, you know, how many police they have, but how much are they the police trying to bust down on any kind of sexual activity happening in strip clubs? Because, well, you know, it goes on in a lot of places.
Yeah, it definitely goes on. I've seen it. Well, it depends on the club. So, like, in Houston right now, the city has filed a complaint against one of our biggest clubs called Treasures. And that's because they are saying that Treasures is a public nuisance because there's a lot of prostitution that goes on at that club. But it's also, they make a ton of money. Like, I've worked there a few times, and I don't know how they stay open. It's bad.
Really?
And it's everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And, yeah, I wrote about that a lot in my book, too, actually. But
and there are GPS coordinates for us too. That's in the book.
You'll know if you go into town and you ask for a strip club, they'll probably direct you to Treasures because it's right by the Galleria, which is like the biggest tourist attraction in Houston.
Oh.
It's this huge mall that we have like a skating rink in it, and then like less than a mile away is like the biggest like strip club / whorehouse in town.
And fascinating.
To see that the right people go there. That's how they stay open.
Yeah, the judges and the right. chief of police are
they
there, so
lot.
It stays open,
Treasures
right?
pulls down $20 million in liquor sales every year. So
oh
they
my
can afford
God.
To have some pretty good lawyers on their side.
Wow. I don't want to give away too much of the book because you do have some great stories in there. But before you go, Sarah, your hair caught on fire while you were working. What happened?
Oh, my God. This was a nightmare. So, like, the club that I work at, the St. James, had little candles on the tables around the stage, on all the tables, but there were – there are tables right against the stage. And so I was doing a back bend on my stage set right up against the edge of the stage where I was, you know, people were tipping me and my bangs fell into the candle and caught on fire. And I didn't notice it right away.
God.
So like the people at the table just started like hitting me in the head to try to put it out. And I was like, okay, I just realized that I'm on, and I just got up and ran off stage and like ran into the DJ booth. And I just looked at like the manager was in there, the DJ. I was like, I just set my hair on fire. I'm not going back out there. And they looked at me and they're just like, you have to go back out there. And they were like, you look fine to me. Because
really?
It was only my first song in the set. And I still had to take
my
top
God.
Off for the second song.
Oh, my God.
So I went off and I finished my stage set. My bangs are a little bit shorter, though.
Yeah, that's hot.
That is hot indeed. Yeah, that's... You don't expect to ever get set on fire when you're working. That's
no.
crazy.
Well, now we have fake candles. But it's really funny. If a guy gets drunk in the club, they'll try to light their cigarette with a fake candle because you can't see the flame. And if you just take it from them and dump it in their lap, they jump up so fast.
Very funny. The book is called Diary of an Angry Stripper. It's a great read, and you can follow Sarah on Twitter at Angry Stripper. So glad you came in. Big fun. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm actually impressed that Ralph is still here. I figured you'd be out, you know, out in the parking lot following the stripper home or something.
I don't follow them home.
Anymore.
since that whole police restraining order thing happened.
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday Kevin and Bean show. What you got left for us?
Is it the end, really? The end
I think
of
this
week?
Is it. This
oh,
is it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that must mean if it's Friday, that Saturday night is tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. And that must mean Hollywood Babylon. With me and David Koechner as my special guest co-host tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the John Lovitz Theater up at Universal City Walk. Please come join us. It's 10 p.m. tomorrow night. Me and Dave Koechner, you know him from Anchorman, you know him from The Office, thelovitz.com or babylonralph.com is where you go for tickets and details. Jake Gyllenhaal seems like a guy who always gets the girl, right? Wouldn't you think?
Yes.
But according to Us Weekly, he had an enormous crush on Minka Kelly.
Well, didn't we all?
But she refused to go out with him. He asked her out, and she turned him down. Instead, she ended up with Wilmer Valderrama of That 70s Show.
I don't get that.
I don't either. And apparently that did not go well. They split up, so Minka went back to Jake and said, okay, I'll give you a shot.
And did he go out with her?
He did.
Wow.
But then apparently that didn't last long, and she ended that as well. What is that? What does it take to make this girl happy?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I'm going to have to let you know.
And Jake Gyllenhaal, by the way, he's another one of those guys who dates them all. I mean, he dated Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
He dated Taylor Swift. I mean, he's got a pretty long list of conquests his own self.
Yeah. He's like the John Mayer of his of acting.
Right, right.
Yeah, he does pretty well for himself. This makes me sick. Scott Disick, baby mama for Kourtney Kardashian.
Yeah.
He was spotted this week test driving his new car. A bright blue Rolls-Royce Phantom. You know how much are they getting for these?
Mm-mm.
For the Rolls-Royce Phantom?
I don't know. But has he ever had a job a day in his life and he's driving this car?
Not that I know of. Take
how
a
much?
Guess. Take a guess how much the Rolls-Royce Phantom goes for.
I mean, $200,000?
Are you kidding?
Tui, I spit on your $200,000. That's what I do.
What does it take some old man, like 100 years to make one?
$500,000, Lisa, is what you're looking
for. Oh,
no. That's a bunch of hogwash.
$500,000 is
what you're... That's a bunch of hogwash.
That's what you're paying for the Rolls-Royce Phantom these days. So I'm glad Scott Disick gets to drive that around.
He deserves it, right?
At what point, though? Look, I know it's a beautiful car. It's handcrafted. It's all those good things. At what point, no matter how much money do you have, does it become too much money to spend for an automobile?
I think there are a lot of products in that meet that description. Watches is another one. It doesn't matter how great your watch is it really worth $500,000 like some people
Yes, because some of the watches you can go back in time with them.
Oh, well, if you have that ability. Yeah. But you're right, with the cars. I mean, how much better is a $500,000 car than a $200,000 car, really?
Yeah. Can it get you where you're going to go any better than a Futura? Not a Futura. A Fiat. A Volvo. You know, any of those cars?
Have you seen Lisa's Volvo?
I love
Volvo.
Lisa's Volvo.
Yeah.
It's much, my Volvo.
I'll tell you, when I was inside, it's much roomier than you expect. And it's safe.
Fast
and safe.
And it's safe. All those things are true.
I love her Volvo.
It
it's got
does.
That new car smell, that Volvo. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, congratulations to the L.A. Kings, Stanley Cup champions. You know, it feels like we're already over it. Like, no one's talking about it anymore.
Well, I think the parade was kind of the exclamation point on the season.
It was just yesterday.
I know, but now, you know, we are over it.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's nothing... residual hockey joy in this town.
I think people are still walking around happy. I just don't think there's anything for us to focus on to look forward to still.
Jonathan Quick, goaltender for the team, of course, won the Conn Smythe Trophy. He was one of the major speakers at the victory celebration at Staples Center yesterday, which was covered live by Fox Sports West. A decision I think they immediately regretted when Jonathan Quick stepped up to the microphone and just started just dropping F-bombs left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little audio from their broadcast.
Thank you so much. How about this f***ing team right here? Look at this f***ing team. Look at this f***ing guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, this is Patrick O'Neill out here on our set to our entire audience. Just want to apologize for the foul language. Now we go back to Jonathan Quick.
For some more.
Now we go back to the guy who keeps dropping F-bombs.
Thanks.
F-word, MF-word, S-word, G-word, D-word, GD-word.
I think anybody watching that broadcast was genuinely upset that Jonathan Quick was dropping the F-bombs.
And not surprised.
No.
Yeah, but if you're sitting there with your five-year-old, you might prefer that they not hear that word. I understand. But it is a live event with real people, and that's the risk you take.
But I want my kid to say, yeah, they are a great effing team.
Has Olivia started swearing yet?
Not yet, but I'm working on it, much to my wife's chagrin. I think it's hilarious. You know, it's funny because she says her favorite animal now is this little toy frog she has.
Uh-huh.
But when she says frog, it...
Doesn't come out quite right
because she's two and she's still developing her speech ability. Mm-hmm. So it's more like fog.
Uh-huh.
And so I say, oh, yes, honey, do we take the frog off? Say frog off. She goes, fog off. And then I say, oh, does the frog have a mother? Does she have a mother frogger? Mother fogger. And so I just goes around the house and I'm just... laughing, split me gut. My wife's like, that's not funny. That's not funny. She's going to say that out loud, and people are going to think she's saying it.
You got a YouTube sensation on your hands, Ralph.
Exactly. I want to give away some more tickets to Ted. These are the last tickets of the week. This is your last chance, boys and girls. Last two pairs of tickets I've got for you for the advanced screening of Ted at the AMC Burbank on Tuesday, June the 26th. I love this movie so much. It's got some of my favorite actors in it. Especially one of my favorite actors is in this film. I'm going to come by on Tuesday and say hi to everybody who's coming to the screening. Tuesday, June 26th, the AMC Burbank. The movie, of course, is in theaters everywhere Friday, June the 29th. But if you want to see it before anybody else and lord that over your friends, as you should, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers to get through at that number, you get a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Ted.
No.
Yes. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Jim Belushi is 58 years old today.
Oh, the good one. The good Belushi.
Yeah, I think you're believing that. Talking about his brother, John.
Gotcha.
Not so much the good one. Helen Hunt, 49 years old.
Oscar-winning actress.
That's right. Courtney Cox. Cox and Hunt in the same day. I'm just saying. Two of my favorite actresses.
Let's have Olivia start reading the show business.
I love Cox and Hunt.
Yeah.
They're both great. Courtney Cox is 48 years old. Ice Cube is 43. Leah Remini celebrates her 42nd birthday. Neil Patrick Harris,
from How I Met Your Mother fame, and Doogie Howser, of course, is 39. Elizabeth Reaser from Twilight is 37. Dryden Mitchell from Alien Ant Farm turns 36. And one of my biggest crushes, Anna Torv, the lovely and talented Olivia from Fringe. She is 34 years old today. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, Lisa. No thanks to you, Beer Mug.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Have a great weekend, everybody. Monday, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, Adam Carolla, and LaQuisha reviews Kardashians.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, don't judge my disability.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, no. Poor guy.
Roll another one.
That's not brown rice.
Just like the other one.
Holla, beach out.
This one seems to be about the queer.
Okay, well, first of all, I don't like it when you guys use that term.
I need another year.
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned during World War II.
To get 3 rice balls a day, and that's it. And they're subject to beatings almost on a daily basis.
That is amazing.
Roll another one.
Something's got to be done about phone books.
Just like the other one.
Let's burn this mother down!
This one seems to be about
sense. I'm Larry Flint. I approve this message.
I don't have another cent.
No regrets. That's my motto. That and everybody Wing Chun tonight.
How can you love it? It's crap.
Just pass it around.
I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
Don't bother to join my friend.
Oh my god.
Just pass it on down.
It's good. You know what? Better than good. Good enough.
Now get out. The bar is closed.
You know what? Thank you. That is all I needed to hear. I'm done.
We in radio believe that radio has a tradition of which it can well be proud. A tradition of good programs that linger fondly in our memory.
Lisa's right. We're nothing but a big bunch of losers. Show's over, folks. Go home.